Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. Read us where we're able. We'll routine to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we've given rise that our quite unsing-able. We're off the bag in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir the Terrible. All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazam's the Terrible. All rise for King Shazam's the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. Also, if you like, while you're on the super chat, you can scroll down and click on the People for People radio link and go over and visit them in their chat and see what they got to say. Don't forget to check out Wolf Spirit Radio as well. Today's show is kind of going to be like a hard one for me to do because sometimes I'm really seriously at a loss for words. I mean, I say that a lot until I get passionate and I get riled up and I just start going on a rant, seems like. But I stumbled across the video this morning. I'm just going to play portion of this pod. Well, I'm just going to play, you know, just play this podcast and let you hear, and maybe that'll get me give me a chance to get my mind back together. But I have to tell you, this is probably going to be a disturbing show, so, you know, if you want to have a good day, it's probably a good idea to just tune out today, because, I don't know, just listen to this podcast if you like.
Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here with a very quick video. Well, to be honest, I'm not sure how quick or slow it will be. I haven't written anything down. I just want to kind of take you through a couple of thoughts I've been having. In my last video, I mentioned the Childish Gambino video, which evidently YouTube embraces as not violating their community guidelines and being perfectly okay for kids. Because who do you think is watching this video? This is America. Teenagers, kids, 12-year-olds, 11-year-olds. It's not the geriatric folks that watch CNN. It's teenagers. And what I want to point out about this video, because it's really got me outraged, is to demonstrate the double standard by YouTube. I want to just remind folks that if this was a movie, it would be rated R, restricted for audiences, and you'd need a parent to get you in to see the thing, because it quite literally simulates the murder Childish Gambino shooting a blindfolded man in the back of the head and blowing out his brains. And then just a very short time later in the video, it shows him simulating the mass murder of an entire church choir with an AR-15 type weapon. which is exactly the type of imagery you wouldn't want to put in front of teenagers. So here's my question. How is this deemed appropriate for all audiences by YouTube? It's not even age restricted. And on Sunday, this video had 377 million views. And now on Monday, as I record this, it's at 383 million views. It picked up 6 million views in one day. Do you have any idea how much money that is for this character, this performance artist who goes by the stage name Childish Gambino, whose real name is Glover? This thing has premium ads on it. My question is for YouTube, how is this not age-restricted when it shows multiple murders? In fact, serial killings, simulated serial killings, but of course the killings you see in a rated R movie are also simulated. My question for YouTube is, how in the world is this appropriate for all audiences, and how does it not break your community guidelines, which according to you, when you gave me strikes for three of my videos, you said it's not appropriate to show violent acts or acts that could motivate violent behavior. How is it okay to show the mass murder of a choir? How is it okay to show the shooting of a masked man by Childish Gambino? It's just outrageous, and you know what? It's just clear that YouTube doesn't care about kids. But guess who else doesn't care about kids? Alex Podesta. Yep, that's the name, and yes, he is related to the Podesta Pedo Brothers. His real name is Arthur, and Q has been kind enough to remind us how absolutely sick these people are. What is a white rabbit? Q has also asked. Well, it's very clear that a white rabbit is a sex slave or a satanic ritually abused child. A sex trafficked child is a white rabbit, but guess what? White rabbit programming also produces these handlers, these victimizers of children. All of it, the art of Alex Podesta at tender age. That's actually the name of the show. Look at this image. A small child being part of the promotion for this sick art. Q has it right, folks. These people are sick. But guess what? You have no idea how sick they are. Many of you have no idea how deep the rabbit hole goes and how purely satanic and horrible it is at the bottom of the rabbit hole. You have no idea. Q has said, you'll have to want to choose to know because it's that bad. And those who know can't sleep. I'm going to tell you exactly what that means in one second with a real-world example. But folks, it's absolutely shocking to me at this point that John and Tony Podesta aren't, and I hope they are, but I don't believe they've been yet indicted, and they both need to be indicted for a wide variety of crimes. And of course, it was Andrew Breitbart who told us in February of 2011 that it surprised him that John Podesta wasn't a household name as a world-class underage sex slave op cover-upper defending unspeakable dregs like these. And it's just more evidence that these people are involved in some of the most heinous activities you can imagine. And before I get on to that real-world example of just how sick these people are, Q rightly sums up as it relates to all of these pedophiles and child sex traffickers, quote, these people need to all be eliminated. And now, briefly, because this demon doesn't deserve any of our time, he deserves to go to hell and meet his master, a world-class pedophile who trafficked in child pornography, Peter Scully.
Give me your name.
Yes, Peter Scully.
We have 6 warrants for your arrest.
A pedophile that we tracked down in the Philippines with the help of the Australian Federal Police.
His Red Room is the most disturbing story you will ever read. Peter Scully is an Australian who moved to the Philippines in 2011. Now, fortunately, this demon has been arrested, and he may face the death penalty. They may actually bring back the death penalty to kill this guy because he was that evil. According to Scully's girlfriend, a 17-year-old ex-prostitute, she says he asked him to get a couple of young girls, one aged 9 and one 12, and she did. According to the girlfriend, nothing terrible happened on the first day, but then on the second day, she returned to the flat and found both girls wearing dog collars. And it was the start of nothing short of horrific. A minimum of 8 girls, aged 18 months old and older, were tortured, and at least one was murdered, all live, on camera. The snuff videos created by Scully have been viewed by the Australian and Filipino police, and Scully has been found guilty of the murder of an 11-year-old girl and of the torture and sexual abuse of at least 8 girls, including that 18-month-old infant. The remains of the murdered girl were found under the floor of one of the homes that Scully rented. One of the snuff films this monster created was called Daisy's Destruction.
It's almost impossible to believe that another human being can inflict such horror on others, in particular children. Why do you rape young children?
The answer is, I don't know.
I don't know the real answer.
And according to internet legend, the video shows... Folks, I'm sorry, please mute this if you have children in the room. The video showed Scully smashing two babies together until they were both dead. Others allege it shows him disemboweling a baby after raping it. Now, the good news is Peter Scully was given a life sentence for human trafficking and rape in the Philippines. But the reason I wanted to share this story with you about this real-world Hannibal Lecter, this real-world demon, is because he trafficked in those videos, he sold those videos, and there were people on the receiving end, people who are out there that want to buy and consume this horrific, horrific content. And the question is, who are the people above him? Who are the people that allow these videos to be trafficked? Who are the people that allow these children to be trafficked? And the answer, according to Q, is it's far, far bigger and far, far more disturbing than any of us ever knew. Breitbart was way ahead of the game in 2011 when he pointed the finger at John Podesta, and he was never sued for having written those words. A world-class, underage, sex slave op, cover-upper, defending unspeakable dregs, probably dregs like Peter Scully. Friends, I want to thank you so much for tuning in, and for real news 24/7, visit us at sgtreport.com. God bless.
Wow.
I was right.
Yeah, I like it. Sometimes I question my own mind whether or not anything in this world is even real, because, you know, there's certain people in this world like myself that, you know, I got a good heart, I think, and you know, I just can't visualize anybody doing terrible things to each other. But he asked the question of why, you know, YouTube would allow videos like that, or why somebody would create a video like the one next one he explained. But my question goes even further. I mean, who would even want to watch a video of somebody being tortured and stuff like that? I'm not even one of those ones who likes to watch horror movies, you know, because I don't really find any pleasure or excitement in, you know, people being tortured or hurt or murdered and stuff like that, because from my belief system, I don't believe that anybody has the right to steal another person's life. Now, in war, you know, there's a lot of terrible things that happen, and a lot of people do things that they feel are justified during war, but even to that extent, I still... It's wrong in my mind. You know, I'm probably one of the soldiers that would have came back with the same amount of ammunition that I left with. You know, I probably wouldn't have been a good soldier. You know, but then again, I had mentioned before the show that because I have grandchildren, that if anybody was to ever harm my grandchildren in any fashion like that, or any fashion period, I'm afraid of what I would turn into myself personally, what I would be capable of, because it enrages me to think that somebody thinks that they are justified or able to do something like this to other people. You know, I'm always on here, I'm preaching peace, hope, and love, and that's what I really truly believe in. I believe in peace, hope, and love. And this show's disturbing for me because I don't like to talk about stuff like this. I really don't, you know. But there's got to come a time when people out there have to begin to wake up. And I know there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people coming around to the reality that this world is not what it's been portrayed to be. The mainstream media, I kind of hold accountable for a lot of the problems that goes on in this world, because today I stumbled onto this video. Now, I need you to really focus on what the words that just came out of my mouth. I stumbled onto this video. I wasn't told this through, you know, Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or ABC or anything like that. I didn't see it on any major news media. Maybe it's because I missed it, or it was just a short bleep and whatever. But nonetheless, this is something, you know, the mainstream media is always propagandizing about gun control and all this kind of stuff, yet there's a video out there getting millions of views that depicts somebody shooting somebody in the back of the head blindfolded, and, you know, turns around with an assault rifle and mows down a choir. And to the mainstream, or maybe even the liberal community, this might be acceptable, because it's kind of you know, sick humor about, you know, I get it. People don't like the Christians, all right? They don't like the church or whatever because of the past or whatever things might have been. But first, before I even go any further past that, I have to say that every single good place out there, a good organization or anything like that, had been infiltrated, all of them. Even the governments themselves might have at one point in time had honorable intentions, but been infiltrated by those with less than honorable intentions, if you understand what I'm trying to say. So it doesn't mean that just because somebody, you know, calls themselves a Christian that they subscribe to, you know, the Catholic Crusades way back in the day. You know, that's not what it's about for me in any sense of the word. But then to think that there, you know, even in the Christian community, that there are people who would close a blind eye to, you know, something that would be going on within the church or, you know, out, even in the world for that matter. I would probably be one of those pastors that probably wouldn't be followed very long because I would tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth as far as, I could see. And there's a lot of people in this world that don't want to hear the truth. And to this extent, I don't even know if it is the truth. You know, and that's sad because I don't want to discount anybody's misfortune, and I think that the scales of justice need to be balanced out. I think that the truth needs to be told. It's not always pleasant to talk about. But it breaks my heart to think that there's anybody in this world who would do anything harmful to a child. You know? It breaks my heart that anybody would do anything harmful to each other. You know, some of the things that people show on there, this isn't entertainment. If you're showing this to, you know, like the guy said, it's not the geriatric crowd that's watching this. It's teenagers. It's the future, leaders of the world, future humanity. And if this is what they deem to be entertainment, and these people, all these children or teenagers are being raised up to believe that this is normal, this is okay, you know, or it's just sick humor, it's fantasy, it's just fun, you know, it's kind of like playing that video game where you're running around inside the video game, first person shooter, or stealing cars, or hurting people, you know. You become desensitized to it. It's just a game, you know. It's what harm is it? Well, it's a mental harm. That's what it is, because it basically desensitizes you to murder. Now, I spoke about years ago when I went through the police academy and did a little bit of research about past and military and all that kind of stuff that a lot of people don't realize that years and years ago they used to teach people how to shoot using a bullseye target, which was a round circle, inside a little small circle in the center of it, and you tried to get closest to the center that you could. Well, after what I mentioned about how I'd be one of the ones that came back with all my bullets, same amount of bullets that I left with, because I wouldn't want to kill nobody. Well, they realized that they needed to figure out a method by which they could actually get soldiers to fire on one another. And so what they did was that instead of a circle target, they put it up as a black silhouette that basically depicted the shape of a human, so that after you got used to shooting center mass of this black silhouette, then you would be more likely to fire because you'd be desensitized to shooting at a human form. Now, that's psychological training, folks. That's a reality. You know, part of what they do in the military is to break your spirit down, and they're supposed to build you back up and to make a soldier out of you, make a team member out of you, so that you will follow orders without question, that you will stick with the team no matter what, and so on and so forth, and that you would actually open fire on the enemy. So, society, like Paul Harvey mentioned back in 1965, has took such a serious decline, in my view, that it's just mind-blowing to me. You know, this thing we call the internet, it could have been, you know, such an amazing, and maybe to some extent still is, an amazing opportunity while we're standing at these crossroads to actually make a difference in the world. We can reach out and talk to people, we can discuss problems and find solutions and stuff. But there's a segment of this world that, as far as I'm concerned, is pure evil. You know, just basically in the depths of the darkest abyss you can imagine, that do things like, you know, these snuff videos that people for some reason find pleasure in watching or whatever. In my mind, I can't visualize why anybody could justify this in their mind unless they were really sick, you know. And it just blows my doors off. And I really wished I hadn't seen this video today, honestly, because it was something that once I saw it, I couldn't unsee it, and once I saw it, I couldn't not talk about it. I couldn't jump from what I just witnessed via this man's podcast to, you know, some sort of happy and we're going to be all laughing and jovial today on the nights of the roundtable. I would love to be able to do that on a regular basis. I'd love to be able to come here and say that the world was wonderful and we were making great strides towards peace, hope, and love. But if this is something that is a reality out there, if it's true, more people need to understand. They need to stop closing their eyes or sticking their head in the sand, that these people will be held accountable for their actions, that our children of the world are protected. You know, every day you go to stores like Walmart or whatever, and if you walk past a certain section, you will see there's a big bulletin board with all kinds of missing people. Most generally, it's people under the age of 18 all the way down that are missing. And, you know, in my mind, I start thinking all kinds of things. I start thinking the worst, you know, where is these people, you know, is there any way we can find them and find them safely or something like that? There's just so many of them. And then as I'm standing there looking at this, I'm finding this really disturbing trend in my own mind, is that I'm going to look at these pictures and then I'm going to walk away, because chances of me ever being able to find these people is slim to none. And it's true. But it's sad, because I might have been the only hope for that person. And, you know, it just, there's a whole lot of people in this world that are missing. Mostly young people. And I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to fix it without everyone and every one of my brothers and sisters around the world keeping a vigilant eye out for one another. And these things that, you know, these people talk about, that the mainstream media just doesn't seem to cover. I didn't find this on CNN or Fox or ABC or anything like that. I found it on YouTube. And the one video that he pointed out on YouTube was, you know, of something that the mainstream media is always talking about, you know, we got to get gun control. Well, if you got to get gun control, then why would you want to glamorize violence in your movies in Hollywood? Why would you want to attack any advertisers to that video? If there was a movie out there that depicted murder and rape and child molestation or harm or anything like that, why would you want to tack any of your advertisers to that? But folks, you got to be honest with yourself. You go out and look at any videos out there on the TV today, and it's either got something to do with vampires or demons or zombies or people shooting each other, or, you know, law and order kind of things where, you know, crime scene detectives, and you go around and there's people murdering each other and all this kind of craziness. You wouldn't have seen this stuff on TV when I was a child. Paul Harvey back in 1965, ironically enough, I was born in 1965, but that man must have been a prophet, because he's explaining today's day and age in graphic detail. There is metal detectors at the door of the schools. There's an actual deal where people were showed pictures of a prison, and they were showed pictures of the school, and they were asked the question, which one is the prison, which one is the school, and the majority of them picked the school, that the school was the prison. When in reality, it was where your child goes to school at. It's where your child goes to get educated. And these same people that are supposedly educating your children are sending them down a path to, you know, early things that they shouldn't even be taught. This shouldn't even be a question in the school. And they're told that you can't have pictures of guns or anything like that, but yet in this same community, the same people that are teaching these, on the liberal side of reality here, are the same ones that run the mainstream media who tell you, on one hand, we need to ban guns, but on the other hand, it's okay to watch this video of people shooting each other and buy this video game. Doggone it, people, I'm just one man. I get frustrated. I get emotional about this whole thing, because in my lifetime, I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to lay eyes upon. I've seen pure evil at its most. And I wish I hadn't saw this video together, because I got a really visual mind. And when people talk about somebody, rumored, even if it's just rumored, talking about slamming two babies together and killing them, that's, to me, it's an unthinkable act. Now, I got grandbabies. I got a grandbaby that's only a few days old. And if this is the world now, what's the world going to be by the time that child is as old as I am, or maybe a teenager or something, and that these sick old predators are able to run around and put things on what they call the dark web, or even anywhere on the internet, and nobody holds these folks accountable. It doesn't matter what nation these people are in. It should be an agreed upon thing that if you're from any nation and you see something like this, and you send the full force of the law in to take these people down. But these people, they're in high positions. These aren't poor people that are doing this. I'm sure there are a lot of people, poor people, a lot of poor sickos that are involved in, downloading, child pornography and, murder snuff films, or even these videos where the doggone people are shooting up the choir, or shooting somebody in the back of the head that's tied up and masked on a chair. I don't understand how people can even look at this stuff. I don't understand how people cannot be disturbed when they see the things that Hollywood depicts as normal, as okay, as fun, as entertainment. To me, it doesn't matter your sexual orientation or your religious beliefs, therefore or not. It's just it's what you do with your own life. You do in the privacy of your home. That's your business. But to put it out there to corrupt the minds of the youth that are basically looking to the adults to be able to be raised in a safe environment and be able to make informed decisions by the time they get old. By the time they get old nowadays means that they're already subjected to violence and drugs and alcohol and abuse of biblical proportions. It's mind-blowing to me that there are people in this world that don't think that evil even exists, that they don't think that there's a devil. I mean, how can you not, unless you're so desensitized to the difference between right and wrong, and you don't believe that there's any consequence, no life after death, it's a free-for-all, just do what you want right now. And I haven't even gotten into our environment. I haven't even gotten to the scientific portions of how we could actually fix this world. It's just, it's in every single direction. It's mind-blowing how many problems that are solvable in this world, but yet you can't get a voice on a platform where you're not even either being censored or you're being harassed or even, you know, denial of service attacks on your servers. What do you do? How does one person look out into the world and see the damage that is being done to the world by the so-called people of the world? And it's not the majority. It has never been the majority doing this stuff. The majority of all the people out there in the world, as far as I'm concerned, are good people, that some of which are being actually led astray. Go to church on Saturday, go to church on Sunday, go out robbing, raping, looting, pillaging, drinking, and doing whatever nasty you can the rest of the week. And so we become a hypocritical society. Put your guns down. We don't need no guns. But hell, go to the TV and watch this this new murder flick. Watch people chainsaw each other in half. Watch people throw knives and shoot guns at each other. And your child is in the other room, or your child is sitting in the same room, and that child is seeing this and becoming desensitized to the evils and the darknesses that lie within this realm that we find ourselves in. So I quite literally ask the question, are we literally living in hell on earth? For a person like me to witness this stuff, I believe that yes, we are. I believe that hell has come to earth. I believe that we're seeing this. And I've been told, and it's probably right, that this has been going on for eons. But if we're ever to become enlightened like everybody keeps talking about, if we're ever to become, you know, something better than what we are, if there's ever to be a new age of enlightenment to where we actually are able to excel to our fullest extent, how in the hell can we sit by and let this world continue to deteriorate like it has? My God. If you don't want to hear a grown man cry, you better leave now. I haven't even held my newest grandbaby in my hands yet because she's so tiny, I'm fearful that I could hurt her. But soon as she gets older and a little bit more rugged, I don't mind holding my baby girl in my arms and loving her with everything I got. But if there's people out in this world that want to do harm to that child throughout her lifetime, there's going to be one grandpa that could turn into quite literally the devil himself if anybody lays so much as a thought on that girl. And I don't want to be that guy. So I need people to start telling me how to fix this. I need people to help keep me on the path to hope so that I know my children have a good chance to live a decent life. If this was a psychological operation to mess with my mind, if I'm living in the Truman Show, somebody better shut this thing down. Because I done seen it all. I want to fix this world. I don't want to leave this world in the shape that it's in. I don't go to somebody else's house and throw my trash everywhere and leave it. I clean up after myself when I leave. And if I'm partly responsible for this world being as messed up as it is because I was a hooligan when I was a young child because I didn't know any better, or maybe I did know better, I just rebelled against the system. And I try to right all my wrongs. Anytime I feel like I made somebody feel bad, I try to apologize. I try to make it right. Because it's not mine to leave a mess behind. You know, the Bible that everybody mocks and ridicules these days because of whoever they believe wrote it or whatever. It's got 10 commandments in there. it wouldn't be such a bad thing for the world to try to live by at least those 10 little sets of rules. It wouldn't be such a bad thing at all. I'm not telling you what to believe. I'm not telling you that my God's the only God, and my beliefs is the only belief, and I'm not even trying to convert you or sell you anything. All I'm trying to do is reach out there and appeal to the humanity of anybody within earshot of this radio broadcast. Keep your eyes peeled. And when you see something in this world that's wrong, fix it. That's all you can do. And you make sure you show those other people in this world that need to know. You need to wake people up. It just blows my doors off. Sometimes I don't even know if I'm even alive. I don't even know if any of this is reality. I think I might very well be living in a bad dream. Barbara, are you there?
I am here. Good morning, everyone. I'm happy to be here with you, Shaziz, today. I know this is a hard road to take here. It's not easy to listen to these things. It's certainly not easy to open the door to this type of information that is coming more and more prevalent out in the open, but not on the mainstream media, as you say, because we know by now you'll never see these types of truths on the mainstream media. And I just thinking about Paul Harvey's, you know, prophetic words about the devil is amazing to me in that time that he spoke of the things, and his words were so powerful. Didn't make much of a difference, I suppose, because I think we've been deliberately, you know, desensitized. And I say that with clarity and power of what I've come to know throughout my lifetime and the research that I've been doing since I've been on radio, which is over 10 years, and coming to places of realization of what we have been dealing with, plus my own instincts and sense of things that just do not seem right, and the information that I receive and when I'm in the creation, creators, in prayer, you know, to Creator and questioning, you know, you have to want to know, I suppose, and some people don't want to know, as you said. People don't want to know because it's mind-boggling and it's beyond our comprehension because, you know, like a person like yourself, you know, you're a good person, you're a person who believes in a God, a Creator, and the goodness of how things should be. And when you're hit with this type of thing that you just came across, that video came across, I don't believe in accidents, I don't believe these things come that way. Years ago, during some of my teachings with people, I started to talk about the level of evil that is ramping up, and I felt it, and I received information about it. I would speak about it. And it's hard because people look at you like with a blank stare. They don't comprehend what on earth you're talking about, because we've been desensitized to the truth, and we've been incrementally programmed to not believe in a sacred being. Certainly what we've been told to believe in are lies. And when you talk about evil or a devil or Satan, you know, people look at you with those eyebrows raising up because you sound like you're some back ancient kind of a, you know, person who believes in the boogeyman, you know. But this boogeyman has been down through history, spoken about, described, experienced, warned about. But there's a faction in our lives that has been in place for a long, long time that does not want us to know the truth of what we're really dealing with. And so that is, you want to call it the boogeyman, you want to call it evil, you want to call it the devil, Satanism, you want to call it sycophants, people who are sold their souls to the devil, you want to talk about crazy people or people who are over the edge and need drugs to contain their insanities.
Can I throw a thought in there for you while you're on that context?
Yeah.
It wasn't the person that did not believe that there was a God. It was the person that really honestly believed that was wrong, that there was a higher power, that came back with those bullets.
Yeah.
You know, and so my way of thinking is that if you don't like somebody because they believe in a God, but you understand that these people, because they believe in God, they're not going to commit certain terrible atrocities.
Yeah.
So what's wrong with that?
What you have to say, if you don't believe in a God, which people have been programmed basically incrementally over quite a few times, centuries here, if you don't believe in a God or a creator, you don't believe in the opposite. You don't believe in the dark. You don't believe in the evil. You don't believe in that either. You don't believe in it. So this is what I'm talking about. it's hard for people when we're talking about these pedophilia rings, this violence against babies and children, and this is, I hate to say this, but it's like nothing new. I don't want to sound like it's, you know, irrelevant, but I have to say this kind of stuff has been going on, unfortunately, throughout the world. The horrors, when you talked about what that video told about the babies, it reminded me, you know, and unlike you, when I have something comes into my awareness that is so vile and heartbreaking and shocking, it remains in my mind. And it's not easy. I can't wipe this out and shove it aside as irrelevant, because it is so relevant. Because it's so touches me so deeply, the horrors that people can do. Reminds me of parts of information I read about the Nazis, about what they would do to the babies. And I don't even want to say it. But if you think about the Crusades, if you think about wars between people and violence and this energy that roils around the world, people have done horrors to babies. Even ancient times, as they conquer whatever's, you know, rape and violence and so on. This is nothing new. The capabilities that humans can come to that are shocking to us, but I guess maybe people thought, well, those times were long ago when people were ignorant, right? Well, they had the capacities to do those things.
I see it all the time in movies, the movie series, where people, they depict on how in certain circumstances people will react. And, you know, everything from, you know, violence to cannibalism under worst-case scenarios. And I'm thinking, my God, why would you even want to insinuate that, you know, this would even be a possibility? You know, there was a portion of people on the cannibalism portion where they were agreeable to it because the human race had to survive. If the human race had to survive by eating each other, to me, it ain't worth the human race surviving.
Well, like you say, you've seen this in movies, and yes, you mentioned there is, has been across the board, the violence in movies has been escalating. It's not like the 50s, you know, where you see the movies very different. The shift has started to happen to bring out what was behind the scenes, what was behind the dark curtain. Slow, slowly, incrementally, let's introduce a little piece here and a little piece there to desensitize the people who go to the movies. You know, there's a very big difference from when I was a kid in the 40s and 50s about what we would see in the movies. And then when did it start to shift? You could probably go back and certain movies, you know, that we weren't allowed to go see, you know, but people did go see them. You know, there was, you know, there were certain laws where movies were rated. Now, like you say, in your own TV, on, you know, talk shows or whatever, things aren't rated anymore, and all children are vulnerable to watch these things and do. I'm just saying that things have shifted, and things have been ramped up, and things have been going, you know, spinning us into this dark place. And this person here on this video that I pulled up while you were talking, you don't know half of it, Shaziz. I hate to tell you.
Well, that's not,
and I don't think you want
to
know. And
I'm just right. You know, to some extent, not knowing certain things is a heck of a lot less painful than to know it. But
well, I'm going to say that this person here, in reference to this video, basically, I'm just going to mention what this is, but this person says, our world is hell on earth, exactly what the title of your show is. And the level of pure evil is nauseating, you see. But this is about what we're happening with today, what is being brought out by Q and the Anons with the research that they've been doing. Because this is dealing with the exposure of this pure evil in our system in the high mucky muck levels. It's not just a bunch of people who are disenfranchised or who are confused or living poorly who are doing this stuff. This is the elite people. This is about a pedophile ring that is linked to adrenochrome. Adrenochrome, okay. if you want, I'll pass this to you. But I've been looking at this stuff. Patty and I have been looking at this stuff because it's something that has come out now over a year, probably 2 years now, since Donald Trump has been elected because of this, what his first policy he signed when he got into office was to take down the pedophilia rings and the child sex trafficking. And that was the first thing that Donald Trump did. You would not see that on CNN, ABC, MSNBC, or the New York Times, or the Wall Street. You won't see that here. So that's why you happened to come across a video, because you were just searching. You won't see this vital information on the mainstream media because it has to be kept secret so that the people remain dumb and ignorant,
you know,
of the manipulation.
What's really disturbing about this whole deal is videos like this, they get censored. And even, I would venture to say, I didn't notice any ads on that Mark Sargent's page or nothing. I didn't notice any ads on there, with exception of maybe he had that Bitcoin thing at the beginning. So, you know, I know that people have to earn a living while they make videos and stuff like that, but either way, if YouTube's not going to monetize this type of video because of the content that's in it, it is disturbing, then how is it that a video where somebody, just like he said in there, somebody's depicting murder and all this kind of stuff is getting prime ads on there? It just shows you that there's a hypocritical system in place, whether it be on all the social media platforms.
Well, you realize this, and I realize this, but I'm talking about the population that is sitting there listening to the riling about, we got to take the guns away, and then the next thing that comes up on their TV is pure violence using guns.
Yeah.
So... But and the people just sit there, dumbed down, desensitized. What?
If you want to post that link in the Skype or even one of the chat rooms, I'll cut and paste it and share it with everybody in the super chat.
I'll post it to you in the Skype. You can post it up because I can't I can't get on the chat for people to people and other things, but I'm posting it in Knights of the Round Table, and I think you'll get it, but I just want to talk about this a little bit more, because this is what QAnon has been bringing out, because they're working very hard to take down the high elite throughout the whole system of this sick stuff going on. And if you want to watch, I guess Adrenochrome was made popular by the movie that Johnny Depp was in. It's called Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. That's a movie. I didn't watch that movie, but that's where this first started to be shown to
Johnny
the people.
Depp, he's done some really disturbing movies.
Well, that's a whole other story. Yeah. These people in Hollywood, we know pretty much more about them, the what's going on there. But just to continue with this, there are things, for instance, I'm just going to see if I can pull this up. It's an article. Let's see if they'll give it to me here. No, they're just giving me crap here. You know, I hate that when they pop things up. That okay. If you want to look at something, they're going to block you.
If you don't mind, Barry wants to join in on the conversation.
Sure.
Okay, let me see if I can add him while you do what you're looking for.
Yeah, right, okay. I'm just saying that people out there listening, this is not an easy subject. And years ago, like I was saying, I was talking about the evil that is rising and what we have to know, the evil level of this evil. And then I was taken by spirit to see evil, and I have to say, it's very real, my friends. You know, I have people who say, well, I don't want to talk about evil. I don't want to talk about evil. I don't want to talk about this.
Hey, Barry, can you mute your mic?
What?
Can you mute your mic, Barry?
I don't want to talk about this, imagining that if they don't talk about it, it will go away. And that's the desensitized system that we are under, is to deliberately close people's eyes and ears to this, what is really happening and has been happening, and now the level today. We're talking Satanists and pedophilias that are running the world. And that's a hard thing to say, because I want to say, well, I know a lot of good people. I know a lot of people who are really good, caring, loving people. And when you read something or see something about this, but it's not just a bunch of crap. There are documents, there's information, there's studies, there's hidden information on these particular people, the elites, the Hollywood people, the politicians, the pedophiles in the church, the pedophiles in your gymnastics, the pedophiles in your Boy Scouts, the pedophiles in Camp Lejeune, wherever the heck that is. I mean, I'm just saying, the sexual assault, the rape, the dark stuff is part of a plan. It is part of a plan, and today what we are dealing with, and we keep saying it, but this is going to point directly to what we've been saying, is that we are in a spiritual war. This is real. It's not a bunch of hooey-dooey, and we're not conspiracy nutcases. Do your own research to know what you are up against, what our children are going to be dealing with if we don't wake up today and start taking, you know, charge and doing something and changing what's happening here and making determinations and decisions from a heart spirit place instead of our minds, monkey minds, and also the mess that we are subjected to on mainstream media that is basically a cabal, that is basically to get us just to be consumers and just to be dumbed down and just to believe everything we're told. You know, all the lies that we're told to manipulate us in our lives, and so that we don't know what's really going on. We're in a spiritual battle. This is about your soul. This is about the earth. This is about life. This is about the truth. You know, and so you could turn off and say, well, Shaziz today and Barbara Three Crow today sound like a bunch of nutcases. And I know it's not easy to hear these things. It's not easy to know the truth, but if you want to change what's going on in your world, if you're not happy, if you're confused, if you're spinning, the only way you're going to get out of that loop is to do your research and to open up to what is really happening to you. You're being told, you're being shown every day what's going on.
That Hollywood, they were some most folks are anti-God, anti-religion, and anti anything good, seems like they actually glorify the name of Lucifer in a TV series. There's an actual TV series, and the premise of the TV series focuses on Lucifer Morningstar, the devil, who is bored and unhappy as the Lord of Hell. He resigns in his throne and abandons his kingdom for Los Angeles, where he ends up running his nightclub, Lux. That's a actual, the Luxor Hotels in doggone, what is that, Vegas, I believe. He becomes involved in a murder case with a detective. Chloe Decker is subsequently invited to be a consultant at the to the LAPD. So basically the devil's helping to consult to the police department on crimes and stuff. Does anybody besides me find that bizarre? Seriously, there was a point in time when people wouldn't even want to, have anything to do with the devil on TV or anything like that. But now, it's like this, and it was one of my relatives, I can't remember which one of my relatives was telling me, oh, well, that's a pretty good show. And I'm like, what?
Well, there's a lot of, you see, if you are somewhat aware, awake, and want to know, you can look more clearly at things and see the indications of Luciferian imagery.
Where did the devil become a good guy who's now working for the police?
Before we go there, I want to read this article and then we'll invite Barry on. this is an article this person wrote recently. I've been watching social media for a couple of days and noticed today the term Lolita Express. Have you guys heard that?
Oh yeah, that's a
now
Jeffrey.
I remember when the movie Lolita came out. That's how tells you my age, okay? And what Lolita was, who Lolita was. It was quite shocking. It went all over the whole papers, and all kinds of people were talking about Lolita. But that's sort of like the first introduction of this type of thing, where it started to desensitize people. And of course, we talk about free press, we talk about our freedom and our rights to, as an artist, to have whatever various things, against sacredness or sacrosanct things that we talk about. We are a free country to be able to do this, so it's about acceptance of your freedom to express yourself and so on. But the Lolita movie, just check it out. This is an age or a period of time when that was shocking, just like the F-bomb. I remember when the F-bomb started to be talked, expressed, and how shocking that was. Now it's a daily expression. Nobody gives a crap. I'm just saying that this is a deliberate desensitizing of the public along these lines. So, okay, I found this trending on Twitter, Lolita Express, interesting, since there's been a lot of talk about sex scandals recently, even in the mainstream news. And about a year ago, this person did a story on Pizzagate, and some wanted to just push it to the side and say it's ridiculous. And I have to tell you, those people, if you did that, because the mainstream media and those in who are the basically the elite cabal want you to push it aside and say it's ridiculous, but you will find out some of the things that we're going to talk about today are factual. You will find that out. And yep, how are you going to deal with it? How are you going to accept these truths okay? It's going to be a rough period of time we're coming to here in our life. Pretty soon there's going to be a rough period of time. Things are going to be coming out pretty much that will just, as we use that expression, shazaz and I blow your mind. So, okay, so they wanted you to push it aside and say it's ridiculous. However, since this is once again the topic of discussion, we've uncovered some more evidence pointing to the reality of child sex trafficking, abuse, and murder, which might put some of this in perspective, if that term can ever be used in this twisted depravity plaguing our government and the world. I do want to say that it's been over, quite a few years now that I noticed I noticed this article by investigators, and we're talking high-up investigators in child pornography and sex trafficking, and those, you know, the police, the agents, and various other things who take down these people, and they were noticing a shift in the twisted depravity plaguing this level of child pornography or pornography per se. It used to, I guess you could call it, they used the term soft porn. Okay, soft porn is no longer in existence. It is now twisted depravity porn. It is violent. It is even including mutilation and murder of innocents. This is what the people are looking to buy or get on their videos. And this is the level that these people that do this, you know, studies and try to take these people down. This is what they noted they started to see happening. And that was quite an alarm for me because I was reading about some of the things that they discovered. So I noticed there was a shift there, again, an introduction to the system that people are involved in on a level of depravity, okay, that is pretty shocking in the soft porn world. Forget soft porn now. It is twisted depravity. So much of the story started out with the publishing of John Podesta's emails by WikiLeaks. And now, you mentioned John Podesta's, the Podesta brothers, and there is something happening with these guys that we could be happy about. So they will come, they will be brought to terms about what they've been doing. But John Podesta's emails, WikiLeaks, okay, publish this stuff. Now, the reason these are the are important is because Podesta was Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman during her failed attempt to taking over our government. WikiLeaks has a track record of 100% accuracy in its documents, which make it even more important to study what's going on between Hillary, her friends, her associates, and also her campaign. Within those emails, there are hundreds of pedophile references, including something called spirit cooking. And again, she says, I may be going to tell you stuff here that you're not even aware of and other people aren't aware of, okay? Which many of us didn't even know existed until this document dump. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, because I hear noise in the background.
Yeah, that's good,
okay. Now, let me just rephrase this here, okay? Pedophile reference including something called spirit cooking, which many of us didn't even know existed until this document dump. Once this was uncovered, we were led to a highly unusual involvement with the Democrats and a place called Comet Ping Pong and its owner, James Alfantis. Some speculate this guy is part of the Rothschilds, and there's even a paste bin dump from a hacker pointing to Alfantis's relationship with the Rothschilds, and that's most likely true. However, on the bottom of the paste bin dump, there is a reference that Alfantis has a connection to biochemistry. This is again about the adrenochrome issue here that I just sent you that video about. Online postings say Alfantis dropped out of college. Maybe he did. He seems like an ordinary street thug, a dealer who is hooked up in deviant activity, but just slick enough to make sure he doesn't get pinned with any more connection to pedophilia than is necessary to maintain his business, which I believe involves child sex trafficking and the sale of something called adrenochrome. This, when I started getting into this, and Patty and I were getting into this, it's pretty out there stuff. It's like, you can't believe it. It's like, really? This is like, this is something that you just can't wrap your mind around, but now this is being mentioned in the movie Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, starring Johnny Depp. If you watch this quick clip to the end, it talks about this drug. It's a drug, but it comes in a way that is quite shocking and disgusting. In this clip, it's interesting to note the discussion between Depp and the dealer he's talking to. If you don't realize it, they're talking about how it's harvested in a roundabout way. How it's harvested, this adrenochrome. Yes, I'm well aware that it's supposed to be fiction. However, most fiction is based on real life events. And you and I know that, just is, because we've been looking over the last couple of years about how we are being shown and told through movies throughout of Hollywood the devil lives there, or one of the devils in Hollywood, how they incrementally let us know what is really going on. And
put it right and just, in front of your face as entertainment, and you're like, oh, it's just a movie. Well, no. a lot of things that have been shown in movies turned out to be reality, and it just it's like they make a mockery of what they're doing right in front of your face and pass it off as, it's just a joke kind of thing.
Well, the movie that Johnny Depp was in is much closer to real life than you would like to admit. But, so let me go forward. Adrenochrome is a chemical produced by the human body, and this is factual. When adrenaline or epinephrine oxidizes or hits the air, it's produced when the body is traumatized in some way, such as through torture or extreme terror. When a stimulus which should produce extreme fear is introduced to a human, especially when someone is very young, the adrenaline produced is more potent than the average adult. Because of its psychoactive properties, adrenochrome has been linked to mind control drug, think MKUltra now. If you don't know what MKUltra is, just mark down the words MKUltra and do your own research. This is a government system, I guess you could say the CIA or FBI started working with MKUltra. This is factual. This is not made up. So here's the extraction process. It's done by killing the person and harvesting the adrenochrome from the base of the neck and spinal column with a needle. In its pure form, black market dealers can make extreme amounts of money when they sell it. This connection between the child sex trafficking, torture, and murder of children around the world, and the links between MS-13, by the way, the MS-13 that Donald Trump is, one of the reasons he wants to put up the wall is to prevent these MS-13 groups from coming through, but because these are high profile pedo pushers like Podesta and Alfontis, and all the ties between these nonprofit organizations pretending to provide assistance to victims of various disasters around the world. Think Haiti, okay, Clinton Foundation Haiti, makes sense when you think about this type of drug trafficking. What better way to collect children than from the war-torn or natural disasters? Parents are gone, families are separated. It's too easy to get these kids in and out of the country, and we've been looking at this, what's happening, and the foundations are being investigated, various foundations that are supposed to save children and help children in these types of circumstances are actually, many of them are trafficking children. So there's also a site online from Canada called adrenochromelabs.com, which says it manufactures its own product and sells it in a vape form. Seems pretty interesting. They're using vaporizers now to cover their drug pushing. This isn't regulated, and it isn't a food form, so it doesn't have to go through the FDA. Look at the company in Germany. It's called Gut Chemie, which does say it sells adrenochrome in their catalog, pricing on request. And, you know, this is new to me, by the way. I'd known about the adrenochrome being used in these child sacrifices. I didn't know that they're selling it in Canada and Germany, and this is mind-blowing to me. So here are some of the side effects related to the use of adrenochrome directly from the addictionlibrary.org. An adrenochrome user may experience euphoria, confusion, a change in train of thought, lack of judgment, poor insight, and inability to concentrate. It also says on this site, those who use it may become dependent on it and feel as if they can't function without it. It's unregulated in the United States and isn't approved for human consumption. Distribution isn't tough, and getting caught with it isn't a crime. The very existence of this drug has been debated. It seems odd. If it didn't exist, why is it on the Addiction Library site? With its definition, how it's used, what the signs and symptoms of it are, and how to treat those addicted if it wasn't real. If you connect with what we know about the pedophile rings in Pizzagate, Alphontis, the connection between WikiLeaks, John Podesta, Tony Podesta, their relationship with Alphontis, the artwork in Tony's house, the trials from the Lolita Express, the roundup of MS-13, and the connections between this and the so-called Blue Bloods, and all of these sealed indictments, which I'm going to tell you now are over 70,000, the sealed indictments, the sex scandals and pedophilia in politics and on and on and on, it looks as if Alphontis is neck deep into this particular aspect of criminal activity. He's been supplying a trafficking hub of this exchange of kidnapped children and pushing the drug adrenochrome. So, when Alphontis' lawyers and Podesta's lawyers and anyone else who wants to send a cease and desist letter to me decides that they don't like us talking about the connection to this deviant and evil behavior, I'll post it as I normally do when I get letters like this. So, let me see what else is here. You've got pretty big stories coming your way, by the way, which is so true, including the connection between Uranium One and Canada, which I see as the mainstream media is starting finally to cover, as well as the recent raids by the FBI in several banking facilities, including one really small bank with a portfolio of about $1.4 billion in the middle of nowhere and employs about 40 people. So more next week. Keep watching and send information. Thanks to all the people donating to our site and blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to pass that to you as well, but what we're talking about here is downright evil stuff, but it's across the board of all systems that we are under, as people throughout the world, we're dealing with this stuff. So when you started Hell on Earth, your subject is Hell on Earth here, it's a lot like that, but I have to say that there is, and I always come to this, there is a great hope. There is something more powerful. We are in a spiritual battle. That's why I am saying there is something more powerful. We are in a spiritual battle, and now is the time, basically, for us to choose. You're either going to choose the light, or you're going to choose to remain in the dark. So that's all I'm going to say right now. Thank you for listening.
Wow. I don't even know where to start. You know, there's just so much. It's mind-blowing.
But there are people on this, you see. This is what I'm saying. Like, you may not like Donald Trump. You may not believe in Q. You may not. That's fine. I don't give a crap, frankly. And I'm going to say it that way because if you don't do your research, you're going to say, well, it's a bunch of crap, because you're going to listen to mainstream media who's basically now pushing that Q is a conspiracy theory. Now, you know, if you're listening here to Shaziz and I, you know darn well when the mainstream media pushes, oh, that's a conspiracy theory, that you better know, and you do know, that it's a conspiracy reality. So, it's up to you to choose whether you're going to listen to the mainstream media or whether you're going to get down and dig down and start getting to the truth so that you can actually determine how you want to deal with this evil, because that's where we are today, because we have to deal with this. And there are ways to deal with this, and that's what this is about, spiritual battle. There are ways to deal with this. If you're in the dark and you don't want to know, then you won't know how to deal with this, and it's going to be a wave hitting us. It has been a wave. It's going to get worse. And that's where we are today. So you can, you know, it's up to you. I'm not saying you must believe me. I'm just sharing information here with you all. It's up to you, as it always is, to determine what you want to do. And I'm not saying, again, like Shaziz always says, I'm not pushing my religion because I don't follow an organized religion, because the organized religion is part of the dark, part of the evil. And I know that's not where Shaziz is, and we've talked about this. I'm a spiritual person, and I believe in the light. I believe in a greater being. I believe in that, and I believe in prayer. So I'm not pushing religion. Look at what's happening with our Vatican, and are you surprised? Is this new to you? I'm sorry. This has been going on for millennia. Look at the pedophiles, the cover-ups, the rapes, even the murders, and so on. Through that supposedly house of God, it is not a house of God. I hate to tell you, and people wake up already. Okay. Hi, Barry.
Good morning, Barbara. Good morning, Shaziz. I had to get in on this show because you guys are really hitting close to the heart. You know, when I sit back and look what's going on this planet right now, it as a rational person, I find it very, very hard to rationalize what's going on inside the souls of some so-called human beings on this planet. How they can perpetrate this evil in children is just beyond my realm of comprehension. But then my Bible tells me that in this particular time in history, we are going to see an immense battle between good and evil, the devil, and Jesus Christ. And that's what we're seeing right now on this planet. It is unfolding at light speed. We see all aspects of our morality being attacked. We see all aspects of our society, our basis of society, how our family functions. Everything that's good in this world is under attack. When getting to the Catholic Church here, you know, we hear about all these scandals coming out of the Catholic Church, how they were involved. I talked to people in my community here. I talked to a 60-year-old local Indian gentleman here, and he was actually in the residential school system, and some of the things he told me absolutely put me right off my chair. When I first started hearing about this system and what was going on inside these schools, I had a hard time believing it, but hearing it firsthand from somebody that was there and experienced it really changed my thinking about the whole Catholic Church. We got to call what it is. The Catholic Church is the most evil, benign organization in the world. They do not represent God. The Pope, to me, is the most evil person on the planet right now, what he is perpetrating through the Catholic Church. My question is to people, do we hear about sexual abuse, massive sexual abuse coming out of Christian organizations? And yeah, Barbara, I'll reiterate what you said. Religious organizations, many, many religious organizations in this world are evil in the core. They have abused the whole system, and they're perpetrating garbage to their masses, and their masses are buying it. They're collecting millions of dollars flying around in their Learjets. Those are not true Christians. But you can't judge all religious organizations in the world by the bad apples. We know there's bad apples everywhere in any kind of organization, any kind of system. There's bad apples, but there is good apples in that system. But of course, you never hear about the good, you hear about the bad, because the bad is perpetrated by the mainstream, who is just as much our enemy as Satan, who's running absolutely crazy on this planet right now. Stuff I see, I just cannot comprehend, you know, as a person with a heart. I mean, I love my children to death. I would kill to protect my children. Anybody there sitting here listening to us right now, love their children. We love our children. You kill to protect them too. And the tears that Shaziz were shedding earlier in the show, I was shedding those tears with Shaziz because I'm in fear for the future of my children. It just absolutely blows my mind. So we are at a crossroads. We have to decide if we're going to go down the dark path or we're going to go down the light. And sure, this planet is a very, very dark place. It is hell on earth right now. But you know what? There's pockets of light everywhere. And those lights are getting brighter because of people like Barbara, because of people like Shaziz. We're here opening up our hearts to you and telling, hey, this is not good. If we don't turn it around, our children are going to pay the price. So this whole thing just absolutely blows my mind. And I have a hard time, really, really hard time, comprehending that there is these kind of people that walk on the planet Earth today. They can be your neighbors. They can be your employer down in a factory. They could be involved in some of the most benign practices in the world when they're not at work, and yet at work they're just a normal person. This thing is just absolutely creeping in our society. We see now pedophilia trying to be normalized through mainstream media as just another human sexual orientation. Well, man, I'll tell you, that's my rant for a few minutes. Good to talk to you again, Barb. I really enjoyed listening to what you had to say, and you hit home on a lot of good points.
Yeah, Well, you're right about trying to normalize the pedophilia. That's not just coming out of your mind, just a random statement. That's factual. That's another mind-blowing piece for me. Yes.
They're normalizing sex with animals. I mean, our government in Canada legalized bestiality this year. What? Can you say that again, Barry? Yeah. Where are we going, guys?
I'd like to point something else out, too, that people probably hadn't even really noticed, because there's so much going on, it's just crazy. But the kids are under attack in so many different ways that it's hard to explain. Something as simple as the toys that they are giving children these days. Like, for example, one of the first time I actually recognized something was gone amuck, as far as when my granddaughter brought home a toy that one of her other grandparents had given her. And essentially, it was a little poop emoji. You know, it's basically a turd with eyes. Now, there's no nice way to say that, and I'm sorry. I mean, some of you might find a little bit of humor in that, but to me, it's not. It's not funny. It's not even remotely funny. And some of the toys that they glamorize these days, that they have people out there. There's one video, the creator out there on YouTube used to be a porn star. I'm not going to mention no names or nothing, but if you do enough research, you'll find out. She used to be a porn star. Now she sells toys to kids. But some of the toys and the ways that she talks on there is just... It's just disturbing. You know, that you got an adult that's acting like this around children. And, you know, even goes to public places and videotapes and toy stores and does crazy stuff. But go to the store and walk down the toy aisle and take a really good long look. I mean, a really in-depth, pay attention to detail look, and look at the toys that are being passed off to your children these days. First off, a lot of them, they look angry on the face. They have, you know, monster themes or witchcraft themes, or, you know, just even violence, you know. Even toys that seem to be harmless, they're running around, you know, shooting each other. The same, keep in mind now, the same mainstream media out there that promotes these stores, that promote these toys, that all that, they're the ones that are telling you, you gotta get rid of your guns. Alright, now I'm not sitting here trying to, you know, promote guns or anything like that. You know, I prefer we didn't have violence, period. But nonetheless, it's hypocritical to say, get rid of your guns and then promote violence to children via toys. As a 4 or 5 year old kid, you don't know anything different. You don't know the difference between, you know, fact and fiction or violence or whatever. I'm sure to some extent every child's born knowing, you know, difference between right and wrong. I believe there's goodness in every child. But what I'm saying is that as you're raising these children up and you're slowly desensitizing them to things that would otherwise be considered vulgar, I mean, come on, folks. You know, you're talking about the scientific term feces toy. A turd. I said a turd. I usually don't talk like that on the show, but it's important because it's something you need to recognize. You need to go walk down the toy store aisle and you need to look really closely at these toys. They're literally giving kids toys that are they look evil. Alright, and to the kids, it's nothing but a thing. It's just a toy.
But it subverts their mind.
Yeah.
I see it. I'm well aware of what's going on. And it's just another angle of attack.
And that's how it starts, you know? It's like, you know, they call certain drugs gateway drugs, alright? And then and before it's all said and done, you go from that little drug to a stronger one, and then to an even stronger one, and eventually you're laid up on heroin or methamphetamines or something like that because the drug's never good enough. And it's the same thing, in the music industry where the rapper starts out talking, you know, a little crazy stuff, and now it's up to, you know, busting the cap in everybody and the way that they depict women. You know, it treats women like trash. Right?
Second-class citizens.
Yeah. And
where have we heard that before now?
Disgusting.
Oh, the Quran.
Yeah, it disgusts me.
Let's tie that one together.
If you're gonna sit around there and you're gonna sell this particular rapper because he's popular, you're gonna sell this trash on the market, and even in the rock and roll industry or even the country industry, you can find a clear deterioration. There are people out there that's standing firm to some decent values and stuff like that, but in the majority, it's I got drunk, I cheated on my wife, I lost my dog, I lost my house and all that kind of stuff. You know, there was a joke, if you want to get all your stuff back, play country music backwards or something to that extent. It doesn't matter, but what does matter is what Paul Harvey said in 1965. You got dirtier movies, you got metal detectors at every school door now, you got they're on lockdown. If you go there for some reason and you need to get your child out of school, you got to be buzzed in. You got to sign your child out. You got to do all this kind of stuff because the security is so incredibly tight. And somehow or another, people manage to get through and do all these school shootings and stuff. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying what the mainstream media is selling. So if these people are sitting there telling you on one hand that you got to get rid of guns because they're dangerous or they look scarier for whatever purpose, for everybody's safety, but then on the other side of their neck they're promoting rappers that are sitting there shooting up choirs and shooting people in the back of the head and all this kind of jazz. You see what I'm saying? Star the Oracle said in there, the slow boiling of the frog, incremental. That is the most truth I've seen right now. That's it. It's that putting a small. You put a frog into a pan, you can gradually turn up the heat, and that frog will become comfortable in that, and it will sit there and literally boil itself to death, not even try to get out. This is what's happening. This is what happened to your children. This is what happened to your teenagers. If you go around and you actually look at people in society today, and you can see the pain and the confusion, and you can see the way that they don't even care enough about themselves to take care of themselves anymore. And it's this world we're going to leave behind for our children. I know that my generation, Barry's generation, and Barbara's generation, we're shocked, we're appalled, we're concerned and disturbed, and our heart is breaking because we're seeing all this stuff unfold. And we're trying to reach out to everybody in this world that has any kind of common sense or any kind of decency to try to get their people, other people to look into it, other people to wake up.
It blows me away, Shaziz, how hard the human heart has become. But you know what, this isn't something that's happened overnight. This has been incrementally brought on the human race through many, many different avenues of attack. I kind of see it in the last, really being ramped up here in the last 30, 40 years, because I remember my childhood very well. And what the world was like at that point, I could walk the streets of Toronto when I was a child and not have any fears of being in jeopardy, but you can't do that now in any Canadian city.
Yes,
you see
same
how society
here,
Toronto now exceeds New York City in death, in murders. And that's because we've opened our borders and having hundreds and hundreds of illegals walking into this country every day, and they're not being vetted properly and they're filtering into society. Man, just take a look at that gang ranch down in New Mexico and how that was all covered up. And
yep.
People walked free and children were murdered and children were being taught to execute other children. Well, this stuff is going on all over the place and people really have to wake up to it.
There's a story.
It really blows me away.
Where's the story that you
why can't people see it?
Barry, where's the story that you remembered called the Trojan Horse?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's here.
Well, yeah, that's
the enemy is within.
And it seems as though it seems as though society, because they've been pretty much blinded and manipulated, had allowed, oh yeah, let's take that Trojan horse in there, it's beautiful, you know. Well, in the story, there was an army inside that Trojan horse, and it didn't work out so well for them. I think that's kind of what Paul Harvey was trying to warn people back in 65, that we're literally, you know, we unlocked Pandora's box. We allowed a whole lot of stuff that shouldn't have been what it is today.
How did that happen? That's what I ask myself. I ask myself all the time. We see all this evil coming into your society, but parents and caregivers and people that are supposed to love their children and be aware of what's going on around them are just totally blind to it. It comes back to how the brain, Barbara hit on it earlier, MK Ultra, mind control. Well, you think about a child these days, you know, they're born, they're vaccinated right off the bat for hepatitis B, which they probably won't get exposed to any time in their life unless they're using a needle or some other method, but very, very low possibility. In America, I think children now are given 17 vaccines before they're the age of 7. And then you combine that with the stuff that they're being indoctrinated in schools through the SOGI programs, through the CORE programs. Add that to what we see through coming to the entertainment industry, how everything is just demonic. Then add some GMOs to their diet so their body isn't functioning properly, all the neurological breakdown they're experiencing. I mean, our children now, believe it or not, and this is a fact, go to the World Health Organization, look up the stats. Our children are the sickest children in the world, bar none.
Yeah.
North America and Canada are the sickest nations in the world, bar none. But, and yet, you know, we spend 10 times as much on healthcare as the next closest nation. So try and roll that around your brain, figure out what's going on. It's not working for people at all.
No, it ain't.
But it's an attack on all forms of our body, not just our moral. Because if your body is weak and your body is confused and it's not functioning properly and it's being fed garbage every day of their life, I see people feeding their children Fruit Loops and I want to scream at them. Read the ingredients, cross-reference those ingredients on your computer and tell me you want to feed that to your children. And look into GMOs and see what they're doing to your body, man. It's just insane. And our children are just becoming totally messed up.
Well, and over in the TCT chat room, Starworks, that's easier than said to what the screen name on there. Starworks said that, and basically I mentioned this earlier in the show, and the similarity of the public schools operations to prison systems is another thing that people, you know, you put your backpack, your little kid's little backpack on them, and you send them into school, you know, and they begin their indoctrination. And in your average person's mind, they're looking at, well, you know, my kid's going to go through school and maybe, you know, on to college and have a good life and all that kind of stuff. Well, some of the things that, you know, your kid is subjected to, I can understand why the dropout rate of schools is getting higher every year, because these kids, they've lost hope. They feel like they're going to prison when they're going to school. It starts off, kindergarten's fun, you know, preschool's fun, kindergarten's fun, you get to first grade, it might be semi-fun, but anything to start from first grade on down the line, it just gets more intense for these kids.
And indoctrination.
Yeah, they're just being indoctrinated. And how?
Well, of course, conditioning their minds to be little robots when they come out of school, that's how they all think that what their role in society is. Creativity is under attack in school. Free speech is under attack.
Yeah.
I mean, it just blows my mind what's going on in the universities in our country now. Unbelievable.
How can the good people of the world allow their children to be treated like this? I don't understand. The only thing that I get is that nowadays, the way that society, everybody thinks America is this wonderful place to live, but I got the news for you. If you live in America, chances are you're what we would call a modern-day slave. You're in servitude because you owe everybody and his brother, and it takes two parents in order to be able to raise enough funds to raise a household. So it's really rough, and you got kids that are living with parents because they can't afford to pay for health care and everything else out there. And these people who keep on trying to get elected into Congress and Senate, they're always promising you a better day. Well, we're going to cut your taxes. Well, taxes to begin with is stealing from the people anyway. Never mind that. They're going to they're going to improve the education system. They're going to improve the environmental concerns. They're going to do all these wonderful things for you. And then when they get in there, they do quite the opposite of what they said they were going to do. Hillary Clinton and all that thing about the uranium one, where they're selling off, 20% of America's uranium to Russia or whatever. Do you understand what the heck we're talking about here? Uranium, either for a nuclear power plant that the environmentalists don't like, or maybe even for an atomic weapon that the people don't want or need. It's sheer madness. But here's the person who's sitting there talking out of one side of her neck, saying, "Oh, I'm gonna fix America," and then turns around and out the other side of her neck while she's supposedly in public office doing contrary, spying on the people, doing all the ridiculousness that Congress and the Senate seem to get by with, because you, as a citizen, have different set of laws that you got to follow than they do, because it's blatantly obvious after they get caught doing things. The mainstream media said they did it. Everybody agrees they did it, but their intention wasn't bad, so they didn't go to jail. But the average Joe, the enlisted man, if he got caught doing a fraction of what these people were, he'd already be sitting behind bars, and his life would be destroyed. You tell me.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to bring one thing to your attention. In Canada here, there were three Muslim boys, 5, 7, and 9 years old, that gang raped a 5-year-old Canadian girl, and got their sentence was house arrest. And the judge put a gag order on all information coming out about this case, but he couldn't hold it back. And this just got out this week. I was reading about it, and I just could not believe that a judge would sentence three boys that gang raped a young girl. I'll send you the link after the show.
What's the guy over in the UK? His
name's unbelievable.
His name's Tommy something.
That girl's decimated for life.
The guy over there in the UK, the one that went to jail for for
Tony Robinson.
Yeah, that's it.
Hear his story, man. The guy lost 40 pounds in jail.
You can't even try to point this out without coming under fire.
Well, but that's what we're up against. Yeah. But the harder they push against us, the harder we got to push back.
Well, that's the point.
This is the time to stand up and not be scared. Well, not let their fear mongering and their political correctness and their word garbage stop us from speaking. Because we're getting to that point where it's going to be taken away from us.
That's why, as painful as today's show is to me to do, I mean, I'd like to bring really good news, a happy, somebody saved a puppy, or saved a cat out of a tree, something really nice. But I, for whatever reason, I stumbled upon this particular video that just my heart sunk. It was like, it's like building a house. Imagine you're building this really beautiful house. And you got this house, it's like you're on one side of it, you've already done the work around the other side of it, and you got people that just come up there and they start picking this house apart. They're tearing it up. They're peeling off the wood off the side of it. And the harder you work on trying to repair this house, the harder they work on trying to tear it up, and then you get discouraged to the point. And that's what I kind of feel like when we do the Knights of the Round Table show, and we're sitting out there trying to talk about solutions and peace, hope, and love, and then you got this stuff happening over and over again, people being censored off the internet, while other people are allowed to get on there. It's like this is one that really burns me really bad. There's this guy.
I'm gonna jump in.
Hold on a sec. There's this guy that they call the Amazing Atheist. There's this guy they call the Amazing Atheist on YouTube. He started off and he had some of the most offensive content, and he's got tons and tons of subscribers, and he was even monetized. And people that come out there talking about anything to do with conservative values are getting demonetized because of whether it's conspiratorial or not. So, with that said, I'm sorry, Barbara. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. That's fine. I know you when you need to finish something. I'm just going to shift the focus here a bit, because this is a what we're talking about. We started out talking about subjects that are really difficult, of course. Well, here's another one for you. People are fleeing Western Europe because of Muslim migration. So we're talking about the rape, what you just said, Barry, about the well, those young Muslims or young men raping that child, getting away with it, because now it's politically incorrect, okay, what we're talking about, again, but this is another deliberate thing that we're that is being pushed upon us, this whole migration thing. Now, there are good people that are practicing that religion, but this is not what is coming in waves into Europe. Are not those people. They are some, but you have a wave of these types of
bad guys.
Well, they're bad guys. They,
yes, they are.
So people are fleeing Western Europe. I mean, think of that. So you would find it shocking that people would leave the rich West for relatively poor Eastern Europe. People are going back to. So a person here, you have a Christian migrant who returned to Syria. Because he found Austria more dangerous. And another is a Croatian man who grew up in Sweden but recently moved to Poland with his wife and kids, saying he doesn't recognize his country anymore. Mm-hmm. You know? Then you have this whole thing where there's no safety at all in Sweden. I mean, this is because of the secondary migration caused by Muslim migration.
Absolutely.
Right? So you have... This what we're talking about is a reality here that is denied and covered up by Western governments and the media. This is we're talking large influx of Muslim migrants into Europe in recent years has caused burgeoning crime and the exacerbation of the no-go zone phenomenon. More scandalous. Yep.
Rape culture.
And this is a cover-up effort. It's so intense that it has led to police ignoring female rape victims and telling others not to mention the ethnicity of their attackers, and to leftist Dutch mayor's attempt to keep her own mugging in a migrant area out of the media, the mayor self. This is what we're talking about.
Europe is out of control. It is, you know what?
They're taking it down, aren't they, Barry?
They are. Let me tell you a quick story here. 2 days ago, I went and got a Trudeau for Prison t-shirt, okay? And I'm wearing it around town. And, of course, I engaged in unbelievable amounts of conversation with local people. But I was standing in Tim Hortons yesterday, and there's this couple, at least four people from Germany. They're tourists. And the one young guy, he's about 24 years old, looks at my t-shirt and says, "Absolutely, my name." Of course, I came back at him. I said, "What do you think of Angela Merkel?" So we automatically got into a conversation. Automatically. It was almost like they wanted to shake my hand and hug me right away. I sat down at the table and talked with these German people for about a half an hour yesterday, Barbara, and what they told me, I just reiterates. I mean, I hear about all this stuff. I see the videos, you know, but to actually talk to four German people yesterday that are experiencing what's going on in their country, they do not recognize Germany. They live in a small town. They told me they live in a small town about 2.5 hours north of Berlin. Up to about 2 years ago, They never even saw these immigrants in their town. I think he said there was 15,000 people in his town. But now, in his little town, the women do not feel safe to walk the streets at night because these people are raping European women left, right, and center. And it is being covered up. It is a massive agenda being played on the West. And Islam is the tool.
That's correct.
And people have to understand how this ties into the United Nations, how this ties into all global organizations.
One world religion.
Of course, it's all tied together. This is one big conglomerate of attacks on the human being and our souls and our minds by so many different avenues that if you start talking to people about it, unless you get them on a ground level, something they can relate to, because when you start talking about this stuff, people will look at you like you're absolutely out of your mind. But
yep.
Not so much anymore, Barbara. I am seeing a change in people, okay? I really experienced that in my local community here yesterday. We're only a town of 16,000 people, but I wore the prison t-shirt around yesterday. I went down to the farmer's market, which is, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people down there. And I went into every booth, and I tell you, I engaged in conversation with every one of those vendors yesterday. And of the 200 people I probably talked to yesterday, 195 wanted to hang Justin Trudeau. I'm not exaggerating. The country's waking up to what's
well,
going
I
on.
Think Justin
but you know what I hear, Barbara? One of the one, let me just finish and I'll let you
yeah.
talk. The one thing I hear from people is, you know, what can I do? I'm just, you know, what,
yeah,
what can
that's
we? Yeah, they feel helpless. And immediately, Barbara, I come back at them. Yeah, but you've got to come back. When they say that, you've got to come back at them and tell them that, you know, listen, you got way more power than you even can imagine
exactly.
the power you have. You have to learn how to use it. And if you don't learn to use it now, the opportunity to use it is going to be taken away. And this
that's
is a conversation. Unbelievable, Barbara, the conversation. People, you know what I also experienced is people want to talk now.
Yeah.
They're looking for the opportunity.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like the little needle yesterday, going around and giving everybody a poke. Everybody was giving me thumbs up. Everybody's going, yeah, I love your shirt. Everywhere can I get that? Blah, blah, blah. I bet you I sent 15 people to the print shop yesterday to get these T-shirts because they want to know where they can go get one because they want to put one on. I'm sensing in society people are starting to really open up to each other a little bit more than I've ever seen before because people realize that we're in a lot of trouble and they're looking for answers.
Why don't you get those people to come here and visit us during the Knights of the Round Table?
A lot of you people that I talk to now are following me in Terrace because I have a site called The Terrace Citizens. I've seen the audience there jumping big-time numbers in my big puzzle site. And people there, they're starting to look at information that I'm posting all the time.
Cool.
I'll let you talk. Just one more thought, and I'll let you talk here.
Okay.
Listen, Barbara, I love talking to you, and I know we haven't talked for a while, but I really do love talking to you. Even though we've had a few bumps in the past, it's minor, because we are on the same page. We really are in a lot of our thought process, and I love talking to you. But what was I just going to say? That's gone.
What you just said was a good one. It's okay. Here's the point. The point is that we hit bumps in the road, you know, and it's up to each individual with those bumps to weigh and balance them. How serious are they? And to come back full circle, I'm one for coming back full circle because I believe in, I believe more so in our unity than the divisiveness. And we are incrementally being pushed to become separated and divisive and hateful and so on and so forth. And I'm not going to play that game. All right. So it's good to, it's good
too
to.
Short for that, Barbara.
Exactly. And we have a bigger problem here than our petty stuff, frankly. I just want to continue with this thread here about if you don't believe what's going on in Europe, here's something for you. What is really happening about this don't name, don't claim, and keep your mouth shut. So this girl, 13 years old, was raped by multiple Muslim men when she was 13, only be told repeatedly by the police not to mention the ethnicity of her attackers. And, okay, so Breitbart put it that's how he put it last year because he got that information. Emma was one of the victims of the Rotherham, England Muslim rape gangs, which victimized more than 1,500 British girls, but whose crimes were covered up by politically correct authorities for 16 years. In fact, a government official who sought to blow the whistle was forced into diversity training. Diversity training! Diversity training! And told, you must never again refer to Asian men, and your awareness of ethnic issues needs to be raised. Note that Asian is now Muslims, that's how they're referenced now in Britain, Asians, not Muslims. This is what we're talking about. I did post this link into the chat. So forced into diversity training, that's what we're all being forced into diversity training because it's politically incorrect to tell the truth these days. And that's across the board. You have the genocide in Palestine, you have on and over and over and over again, you have what's going on here in our own country with the border.
Let me ask you something, Barbara. What's the purpose of that? Is that so that these folks aren't offended?
Well, that's so these folks aren't offended so that they can come in here in waves and take over the country, which they're doing, and create havoc and chaos.
But isn't that really kind of hypocritical? Because the reason why this doggone show today kind of started off was because of things that the mainstream media and places like YouTube promote, you know, people getting shot in the back of the head and all, you know, people shooting up a doggone choir. You know,
it's about desensitizing. You have to know this is about desensitizing and shutting people up.
But you can only not offend a select few. There's a certain group of society that you can offend freely, and it's fine. It's actually encouraged.
Well, there's a reason, because we're talking about a takeover of free countries, of our losing our rights, of Islamization of, well, there is information about Islamization of the world. So if you want to find out what's going on, this is what it's about. Who's behind this? The cabal, the elite, they have their plan. This is about one world religion. This is serious stuff. This is about the violation of our rights, our freedoms. This is, you know, you talk about the wall, you know, initially when Trump said he was going to build a wall, I was appalled. I was like, what? Wait a second. We're a free country. We're all immigrants. Well, half of my people were not immigrants, but I'm just saying. So you have this. We can't do that. We welcome people. We're kind people. We're, you know, we're people who open our arms. That's the Statue of Liberty, blah, blah, blah. So, but now I'm looking at who's coming across that border, and more information about the MK, the child sex trafficking, and the MS-13 groups, and the people coming, and the people coming across the border who have kidnapped children, by the way. So you have all that information. I'm thinking, you know, as much as I don't like that idea, the times have changed. Our lives have changed. It's not the same as it used to be, where people came here and they made their way through the system to become legal immigrants. Legal. Now, you go into any country, you must go in legally, otherwise you're thrown out or put in jail. Any country, any other country, but not in this country. It's basically set up that, you know, now you've got, you know, you get all the sweet things when you come here illegally. They're setting you up to basically so that you can vote Democrat.
Or liberal. I mean,
or
liberal. Illegally. Yeah, no, Barbara, you're an illegal
socialist.
Immigrant. Become
a socialist.
Well, you know, you're an illegal immigrant. You walk into Canada. The next day, you get a welfare check. If you have sick children,
exactly
it's automatic.
Right.
But listen, this is how far it's gone. And Canadians are outraged about this. The fact that they get right away, as soon as they walk into the country, never paid a penny in taxes in their life, illegally enter the country, they get welfare, they get $600 a month per child, they get a housing allowance from the government, they put up in hotels, they get free medical and free dental. And no Canadian gets free dental. Because that's not enough to outrage the Canadian people.
Yeah,
we have 100 a day. We have 100 a day coming into Canada, Barbara, and they're not being vetted properly. It's a sham. It's open borders, globalist agenda being put out by this Justin. I can't say what I want to say about Trudeau on this show. But
well, it's the same
the good
thing.
Thing is we're waking up to it, Barb.
Well, we have the same thing with the past presidents here and that cabal and that elite, which is going to be disclosed. I keep posting on Facebook. People are posting horrific stuff from the mouth of mainstream media, and they're believing it. And I say, the truth shall be told. The Great Awakening. Okay. And the Great Awakening is happening all around, all across the board. But so Star of the Oracle says a really good point here. Cabal-funded wars and funded ISIS led to refugees, and she's absolutely right. And the UN forced countries to take them in, absolutely right. It's basically to subvert and take down from within, and she is absolutely right. And it is the agenda to destroy all forms of beliefs, morals, traditions, and structures that held people together. And, Star, thank you for that, because she is absolutely right.
She is. It's an invasion, Barbara. Immigration. It's an invasion.
It is an invasion, and it's deliberate, and this is part of the plan, and if people don't wake up to it, where are we headed? Where are we headed?
We're heading to exactly where Europe is right now, on the verge of civil war, but you'll never hear that on mainstream, but I heard it from the mouths of Germans yesterday that their countrymen are talking about taking things into their own hands because their government has betrayed them.
That's right.
So you know, radical times, you know, there's an old saying that radical times require radical movements and radical actions, and German people now, I mean, this 24-year-old guy, you know, he was just so spot on, and I felt a real, real good connection with him when I started talking, because he's looking at me right in my eyes and telling me what's going on in his country, And you know, he's talking with his friends, young Germans, that are going, hey, wait a second, this is really out of control. Our government has betrayed us. There's still more of us than them. You know, civil war is not within the realms of possibility, and France is even worse shape. But you never hear any of this posted on mainstream. They do not talk about it. It's unbelievable. They should be put in jail for the quashing of these stories that people need to hear, because what we're seeing in Europe is just a precursor of what's going to come to North America. We're being invaded. Our culture is under attack. Our society, our social systems, our health systems are being stretched to the limit and going billions of dollars in debt. Our government continues to give billions of dollars to other countries. We just bought a pipeline that got shot down. We lost 51,000 jobs last month in Canada. 51,000 jobs. And this month it's going to be more because of the shutdown of the oil pipelines by our government. Our whole society is under attack. We're being turned into third world countries. And if people don't stand up to it, the trickle-down effect in society is really going to start grabbing people.
Well, you know, I got a question, the doggone the sanity of the people who are actually, you know, reporters, supposed reporters on the news, you know. All these people out there who go to work and they report the propaganda and do all that kind of stuff. I mean, pretty much it seems to me like they got their seven pieces of silver, so to speak, and basically sowed the rest of humanity down the drain. Because if they get what they're actually pushing people towards, such as a civil war, they're not going to fare so well. Because the mainstream media is going to be a target. Senators, congressmen are going to be targets. Unfortunately, law enforcement going to be targets. These are going to be people that are putting themselves right in harm's way just because they think that the majority of the citizens are going to comply and do what they're told if all heck broke loose. If they get a civil war in any of these nations, right now there's people that are so frustrated about it, I can understand why they'd want a civil war. But, folks, there ain't nobody going to win a second civil war here in the United States. I guarantee you.
Absolutely. You're right to this. We don't want to go there. We don't. That's where they're pushing us. But people got to realize that, you know, we talked about this before, Shaziz, and you're well aware, and I'm well aware, and Barbara's well aware that they have little toys put away for that special time when they pull the trigger and all the stuff that's about to come down on us. If you don't think they have a plan to fight back against the normal man that's going to have a gun in his hand, I think you have to have your head in the sand. Okay. Yeah, that's a poet. Sure, I just made that rhyme, didn't I? Yeah, I'm a poet. But anyways, really, if we think about it, the technology the government possesses, these bad boys behind the curtains possess, is probably 20 or 30 years ahead of what we're allowed to know at this point in history. And to say they don't have frequency weapons or some kind of a good little toy put away to nullify the rifle and the handgun, that's one of the things that I roll around in my brain all the time. If we go to civil war, we're not going to come out of the winner.
I got
to
read something.
They want us to go to civil war.
I got to read something because it's pertinent to what we're talking
thought.
About. Oh, I agree with you, Barry. Look this. There used to be something going on out there in what everybody considered to be the conspiracy world, where they talked about all these secret societies running the governments and all that kind of stuff, and what their ultimate plan was. Now, if you Google "Order Out of Chaos" Latin, you're going to come up with a deal that says the trick of creating chaos and then seizing power under the pretense of putting things back in order is a tried and true method, deception and manipulation. It is the meaning behind the Latin motto "Ordo ab Chao," meaning order out of chaos. If you look hard enough, you'll find that. All right.
Problem, reaction, solution.
And this is what we're talking about. This is a deliberate divide and conquer.
Things are happening. Good things are happening. Here's a list. It's a small list because this has been going on, again, ever since President Trump has been in, because of the 70-some sealed indictments and various people being brought out and disclosed and arrested and so on across the board. You have, these are resignations just in the last days, okay? You have Madagascar's president resigns ahead of November poll. China's richest man, Jack Ma, resigns from e-commerce giant Alibaba. Fiji's assistant minister of environment, Lorna Eden, resigns. Tesla's chief accounting officer, resigns. Head of UNASIR resigns in organizational crisis. N16BN refund. Osun Agyi resigns. Warns banks against withdrawals. This is Iman Rasul resigns in solidarity with Latif Mian, and so on and so forth across the board. Police chiefs, CEOs, politicians. It's like across the board and across the world that this is happening, people.
You shine light on the rat they scurry, Barbara.
What? On what?
You shine light on the rats and they scurry.
That's right.
I was looking at that myself. I'm going, you know what? They know. They know.
They do know. They're running. Yeah. They're running scared. But the point is, when people are in positions, and I'm talking about the ones who have been in control, who are being basically ruled by the one and only evil, whomever you want to say, because they've sold their soul to the devil. When you sell your soul to the devil, guess what? There's payback. Mm-hmm. You must keep going. You mm-hmm. cannot stop, and they will get... They are ramping up the stuff worse and worse on us, and we have to be strong, because there are powerful forces that are basically trying to sabotage the whole thing. And they're very bad people. We know they are really evil people. They will do anything at any time, and they'll never stop. And this is what you and I, Jesus, were talking about, this being taken down, and the enormity of it, and the generations of it, okay, embedded into our systems throughout the whole world, the enormity of this, the depth of this, the tentacles of this is monumental and unbelievable and incomprehensible when you start seeing this stuff come out and you start seeing the truths coming out of so-and-so's doing this and that and their involvements with the dark, the evil stuff, and they're starting to be taken down. You think, okay, when will this end? Will it end? It's beyond comprehension, the amount of evil going on and the peoples. So those in charge, let's say those at the tippy-tippy top of the pyramid, which I call them the ones who sold their soul to the devil, and the rest below them are the puppets. Either they're being, brainwashed or they're being held accountable for the stuff that they were brought into doing, and they have to continue. Those people at the tippy-tippy top, it's monumental. And you think, well, can we ever really logically eliminate evil? And now we get to prophecy. Right?
We do.
The times that we are in is prophecy, prophetic, with the biblical prophecies, with the indigenous prophecies, with ancient knowledge and wisdom about where we were before, and here we are back again there. Right? History repeats itself. We're talking in this timeline that we are in that is prophetic, that it's enormously amazing that we are in the time. So the question is, because of the level of evil, and we see it being taken down, and we see it being disclosed, the question is, will it be completely eliminated? And there we go. Leads us to the prophecies. What do you think?
Well,
go ahead, Shadid, and I'll add my thoughts on that.
I was just going to mention something that Star of the Oracle said in the chat room about, basically, I'm just going to shorten it up, the ultimate goal being, if we don't do something now, we're going to end up, being totally enslaved, It's just, it's mind-blowing. Anyway, I'm gonna add, you guys go ahead. I'm gonna try to add Ted in here. I think he probably got some good things to say.
Barbara, I watch events unfolding on the planet, and when I refer to my biblical prophecies and what I'm understanding about what's being said about this particular time in history, the correlation between the events and all these different events that we see happening right now, a lot of people try and explain it away. A lot of people tell me, they're trying to rewrite history themselves, manipulating weather, manipulating this, doing that. To me, I honestly, in the bottom of my heart, I believe it's going to be played out the way the Bible tells us it's going to be played out. That we are going to see the rise of a one world ruler, and that the mark of the beast will be implemented on the human race. We'll be under a global banking system will be mandated to use a chip. I'm standing against this. I try to educate people on the fact we now see a new ring being introduced on the market that will do basically what a chip will do, but it's on your finger. So again, they're conditioning the human race to accept this new technology. People, I see this ad coming out, and I see all kinds of people going, "Yeah, great! What a great idea, Matt Don's Turner Wallet! Yeah, great!" Just shows you how easy it is to manipulate the masses and to condition people to what's coming. I honestly believe we're going to see a collapse of our dollar. I believe that society will be thrown into a state of chaos because you know and I know that if society is thrown into a state of chaos, the human brain is thrown into a state of chaos. That brain will search for anything to stop the screaming inside its head. And they'll take what the government says. Of course, the government will come along with the answers, problem, reaction, solution. They use that phrase over and over and over again because it works very well for them. They'll create the problem. They'll know what the reaction is going to be amongst the masses. And, of course, they'll come up with a solution. And I hate to say it, but I believe a lot of the masses, being uneducated and aware of the agenda, are going to buy it. You know?
They even said never let a good crisis go to waste.
Go to waste.
Yeah, what? This is supposed to be your leadership. Never let a good crisis go to waste. Think about that.
Well, you know, Chavez, there's so many ways right now in the flick of a switch they could bring society right to its knees. People think that we're a safe, sound, secure society. We're so far from that, it's unbelievable. They could turn society literally upside down in 24 hours because they control the money. When it comes time and they want to crash the dollar, which is going to happen, I honestly believe that's coming. People should be prepared for that. But when they want to crash the dollar, 24 hours, 48 hours, later, the dollar will be crashing. Currencies around the world will become null and void. And people want to go to the bank and get some money, and they can't. And if they do have a little bit of money, that loaf of bread is going to cost them $150 instead of $1.89 in a matter of days. Because that's what happens when the dollar crashes. Just take a look at what's going on in Venezuela. Just a great example of what we're going to see happen. And I'm just trying, people, like, you got to prepare for this. You got to be able to take care of your family. That if this stuff does happen, try and keep your head level. Because, like I said, chaos makes the brain work in ways that we don't normally rationalize. We cannot rationalize what it's like to be in a state of chaos because we don't normally experience that. Maybe a couple times in our life we're traumatic and we see how the brain operates, but when it's exposed to a situation where it's, I can't feed my children, I can't function, everything's shutting down, now the government wants to do this, let's just do it. Hey, government, well, you can go back to work tomorrow, man, no problem. Just go on down, get your chip, and you got a new bank account, and everything's fine. Just go to work, don't look over here, we got everything controlled. And that's where we're going.
Yeah. I just want to say...
That was my rant for the day, Barbara, but I see it all unfolding, man.
Well, it's okay. Ranting is good. Scottish Sovereign just came on. Welcome, Scottish Sovereign says, everything the panel is discussing is going to come to pass. I feel that although... all we must continue to try to alert and inform people, I agree, but the bottom line is that it's happening and will continue to happen, and we are now in a period of preparation, and that's so true. We are now in a period of preparation, and I think the preparation is on many levels. Specifically, I'm going to say the spiritual preparation is so important. And our physical preparations are key as well, you know, what we need. And I'm just going to say that recently there was a coming out from Washington, D.C., that this month of September has always been a preparation month, but this has been emphasized recently that this is an important time to prepare for possibles, whatevers may come, whether it's weather-wise or whether it's from other factions, that we need to be prepared. And that's so true, you know, with the water, with the food, and so on. If we have a breakdown or a grid breakdown or coming down or deliberate, whether it's deliberate or whether it's not, I have a feeling that it would be deliberate at this point in time. Because we need to be prepared. We need to know how to come together to connect with our families if various things go on and so on. But I really emphasize the spiritual preparedness because this, to me, is that time because we are in a spiritual battle that if we don't have our spiritual foundations strong, We will be really scrambling and spinning when the heavy-duty stuff comes, and it is going to come because, as I said before, you have a faction that has been embedded for generations and generations that does not want to let go because their plan, its plan, is being messed with now because people are awakening, because we are coming together, and we need to make sure we have this unity, this strength. And basically, it's not going to go so easily. So it's going to do everything in its power to really corrupt and disrupt our connectedness, our unity, the light versus the dark. This is where we are today, and it's going to happen. And I hate to say it, we've been talking about something big is going to come for, I don't know how many years we've been talking about, say there's something big that's really going to come, the biggest test that we've ever experienced in our lives, and I think we're here. And I just want to emphasize that when you have a position that you have held centuries and millennia, and it's working for you, where you have everything that you ever have wanted because you sold your soul to the devil, and that's when you say, well, you can have anything you want, no matter how dark, no matter how evil it is, mm-hmm. I will give it to you, but you must pay. There's a pay. It's called a blood sacrifice. So I just want to tell people, it's important to really secure yourselves, your spiritual selves, your families, and so on. And also, if things start to happen, don't get out in the streets. Don't start getting out there and protesting. I don't care how angry you are. Stop getting angry and start praying, because this is what we really need to do. We're going to have a military circumstance here that's going to come probably most likely in the cities, in the bigger cities. There's going to be something being pushed. It's most likely going to be a false flag. It could be anything. Just no matter what happens, don't be in fear, be strong, and pray and keep yourselves together.
The most important thing you can do is your spiritual grounding right now, Barbara. If I didn't have that in my life right now, I think I would absolutely go insane. I'd absolutely go crazy, but I have so many questions that I can't answer. I ask myself every day, but Jesus, why do you allow this to go on our planet? And I know why, because he gave man free will. And that right now we are seeing an incredible battle between the devil and Jesus Christ. And that's what's happening on this planet. It is just everywhere. However you want to call your creator, whoever you connect with, the most important thing in your life every day is to sit down and pray. Say, look, man, you know, I'm a weak person. But give me some wisdom, give me some guidance, and give me some strength today, because what we're up against is absolutely beyond what I think the human soul can handle if it was by itself. I just look back and I go, all this stuff is happening. You know, we haven't even talked about some of the things that I know are going to happen here in the near future that's going to rock the human race, and that geological events that we see unfolding right now. We are seeing some of the most unbelievable earthquake activity right now on this planet that we've ever experienced. Deep earthquakes happening all over the planet. And these are very, very unusual, but it's a precursor to big, big, big shakers. These events are going to happen. We see what's going on with the weather. We look at all the geological events. I look what's happening to my oceans right now. It just absolutely boggles my mind that every day I read reports of millions and millions of fish dying all over the planet. It's going to come to a breaking point, Barbara, and I believe that's very close. And you're correct. The most important thing we can do is to make sure you're founded spiritually. Connect with whatever you want to call your creator, but connect with him, because he will put a peace in your heart that I can't describe to you. I know that peace is in my heart, that I'm not scared. I'm not going to stand in fear. I know these events are going to unfold, but all I can do right now is try and share that heart, and the heart that you have, Barbara, and the heart that Shazuz has. We have to share that with people. We have to open up our hearts to people and say, look, you know, this is beyond most people's realm of comprehension, but it's real, and just be prepared for it. And whether we can stop it or not, I cannot answer that question, but again, I have to refer back to what my Bible tells me about this particular time in history and how it's going to unfold.
Folks,
so that's kind of what I got to go with.
I gotta address a troll in the Shazuz chat room. I usually don't like to address trolls. I usually just delete them and ban them. But, look, first off, Stone, in the chat room there, you know, if you put filthy comments in the chat room, I will delete them. And I will, if necessary, ban you from the chat room. You know, we're not here trying to brainwash anybody or fear-monger anybody. We're trying to address some things that's going on. I understand by your nasty comment that you put in there that you don't approve of the Bible and that kind of stuff there. But the things that are actually happening in society right now that we're trying to address, and trying to get people to pay attention to things that actually need to be resolved. You know, where do you find any fault in that type of situation there? What is your solution? You know, if your wisdom tells you that the, you know, I'm not even going to repeat what you typed into the chat room. I already deleted the comment, which I'm getting ready to delete all of them if it gets out of hand. But nonetheless, I'd like to hear from your point of view that what you think that is the solution in order to resolve this world. What is it? You know, you say you're not a troll, but if you're sitting here saying stuff like that in there, you know, to people you know are spiritual, are you doing it just to antagonize them? Are you doing it to try to convert them away from their spiritual beliefs? And like for me personally and Barry, we both profess to be Christians. We believe in Christ. So what? You know, and if that keeps us from going out and killing and raping and stealing and doing all the things that society deems to be not right or, you know, illegal or whatever, you know, what harm are we creating by believing the way that we believe and trying to reach out with our hearts to touch other people in the world to try to make this world a better place? You know, we got solutions available out here that we could actually resolve the problems of the world. It breaks my heart to see people being treated the way they do. How do you feel about that? Do you feel like it's all right for people to depict things on TV where they're shooting down choirs or shooting people in the back of the head? Do you think it's all right for people to be able to pass information, you know, filthy stuff back and forth on the web? What is your solution?
I just read the comments there in chat. I think you should delete that comment, all those comments. And if you say something like that against someone, we'll just get you out of here because we're opening up our hearts and you obviously don't believe what we're saying, and that's up to you. But I'd like to hear your solution to the problems, the magnitude of what we're facing.
Yeah, he's
black and white.
People who do this don't come on to have a conversation. They come on
to drop bombs, and it's not worth the
energy. You know,
I've talked to lots of times. I just lost all respect for the guy. Why attack me?
Well, there's a difference. Well, like I said, people who do this, they come on, they're not here to have a conversation. They're just here to disrupt and get attention. So let's move on.
All right,
Don't give this person attention.
One last thing, and then we're going to move on. It's hypocritical
because delete.
Stone
goodbye.
Stone just said.
Delete and kick him out of here.
Stone said you are the solution. We have better things to do.
We
have better things to do than waste time on this.
Yeah, I'm with you. Stone said you are the solution and I am the solution. Well, the solution doesn't come with you coming in there, you know, degrading somebody else because of their spiritual beliefs. So with that said, let's...
They don't have solutions, and here we are spending more time on it.
Yeah, we'll drop it.
All
right, so... But anyway, quickly, Barbara, before we go on, are you doing a show today with Patty?
No, Patty's been off for a while, and we don't have. Roundtable you're talking about, right?
Yeah, you do one on Sundays, I thought.
Well, we used to do one on Sundays. Our turtle talk is on Mondays. Why, are you interested in doing a roundtable?
Well, actually, Barbara, I just had an email from one of my guests from today, and he said a family issue come up, and I was going to hit you with an hour today if you'd like to continue this conversation, because I'm going to have to step out of here in about 5 minutes. I got to take care of my son and his granddaughter. They need a ride in the car.
Yeah.
gone.
Frankly, I don't know what that time slot is available.
Well, I am going to have to leave here in a few minutes. So sorry about that, but
it'll
be
all right.
It'll be 1 p.m. Pacific time today, Barbara. I'd love to continue this conversation about the exploitation of children because it's something that really hits home with me, and I would love to share a continuation of this conversation we had today about the particular issue with some listeners today. If you want to do an hour with me, I would love to do that with you. So,
basically, I started off this show today because I saw a particular video that really found disturbing and, you know, the content of it. Now, keep in mind, I'm not naive. I know there's been a lot of things going on in the world for a long time. And it's just that, you know, we come on here, we preach peace, hope, and love. We talk about solutions, we talk about ways to resolve issues that are out there, whether it be environmental or whatever, you know, political, and we even talk about alternative medicines and everything, alternative to what the mainstream is either not telling you or, you know, lying or propagandizing or whatever. We try to find the truth in everything. And so that's what the Knights of the Round Table is all about. And so we welcome people to come to the table to, you know, speak their, you know, opinions and views as long as they do it respectfully. That's great. And even just by showing up in the chat room on the Knights of the Round Table makes you an honorary Knight of the Round Table. So with that said, you know, act like one. Act like you're here to want to fix the world. Act like you're here to want to try to do something positive for people. That's all we're asking. You know, I get frustrated because my kids, my grandkids, and your kids are going to grow up in a world that is quite literally messed up. And if we, as this generation here, aren't willing to step forward and do something positive or even speak the words necessary to inspire other people to do something positive, then what's the point? Sit back and allow the whole world to collapse into total and utter chaos and just say, well, you know, there wasn't nothing I could do about it. It's too big. The government's too big. Folks, the elite ruling class of the world are the minority. It's the good people of the 100%. World out there that is the majority. It's the good people of the world out there that are rushing into places when there are troubled times, such as the, you know, Hurricane Katrina and all the different natural disasters that you can name, even man-made disasters, even regardless of conspiracy theory or not, you know, 9/11, when people were in trouble, other people, average Joes, came out there to help. You know, and there were people that reached into their own pockets or even gave whatever they had to give to ensure that somebody in this world that they didn't even know would be better off. Passing food and water and all that kind of stuff, that's what we promote here. We don't promote fear of others, but we do have to talk about these things. And it's unfortunate.
As much as we don't like going down these rabbit holes, we have to. We're compelled to, because the information has to be put out in front of the public so they really have a good understanding of what's going on.
Well, I didn't find out about it on the news, Barry. I didn't find out about CNN or MSNBC or ABC or Fox or any. I found it on the internet. You know?
Absolutely. Hey, listen, I do have to step out of here, Shaziz. It's been great talking with you. As always, we haven't talked for a while, and I'll try and get back in again next week. I'm going to be going doing mushrooms here pretty quick for another month, but after that, I'll be back full time. But, Barbara, getting back to you, could you give me an hour today? Because I would love to carry on this conversation and bury the hatchet with you.
Okie doke. Well, Barry, stay safe, Barbara.
Yeah, just let real quick. I'll have my producer connect with you, okay, Barbara? And we're going
what time are you talking about?
1 p.m. Pacific. So what zone are you in?
Well, right now it's 11:27 here.
So it'd be 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock your time today, Barbara.
Okay,
good. I look forward to talking to you. Thanks for letting me know today. It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Barbara. Nice talking to you again. And we'll continue that conversation today. And I'll be back next week. So I'll try and get in again.
All right. Stay safe and hopeful, brother. Ted, are you there?
I'm here, bud.
Better get in and say something. We're getting down close to the end of the show. We got a half hour left.
Who are you talking
Bye
to?
For now.
Ted.
Bye for now,
Ted's in here.
Who?
Ted.
Howdy, howdy.
Oh, there. Okay. Howdy, howdy to you.
Yeah. We must have dropped a bombshell today because everything's a moving and it's shaking out here. Ted, we started off, I don't know if you listened in to anything we've been saying, but we started off talking about hell on earth and explaining the couple different things that was going on in the media and things that pretty much, on one hand, the mainstream media will sit here and say, you got to get rid of your guns, and on the other hand, they promote videos out there that depict violence and murder and everything like that, and it's a hypocritical view that, basically is desensitizing everyone from the children all the way up to the adults into, the deterioration of society. You know, just exactly like Paul Harvey explained it in 1965. He hit it on the nail, word for word, what our modern day society looks like. Our children's schools look like prisons. There's metal detectors at the doors. There are supposed school shootings going on. There are supposed terrorists behind every doggone bush. And even out there in the alternative media, we're about to get blasted by some planet coming in from a different place or whatever. There's aliens going to attack us and everything under the doggone sun. And it is a mind screw of epic proportions. I mean, and so, because when I seen this particular video, I don't know why I stumbled on it, but I didn't hear it from the mainstream media, and because it disturbed me so much, it's something that I felt it needed to be talked about. That's what we're here talking about today. Did you catch any of that at all?
Yeah, I caught. Yeah.
So what's your thoughts, brother?
Well, Shaziz, I think, to be real with you, I believe this is somewhat of like a simulation that we agreed to come into. We knew we wouldn't get out of here alive. And I think that, there's been a chance of all this happening years ago, but it didn't. You see what I mean? Why didn't it? And then there's a chance it's getting ready to happen again, but it doesn't have to. And why doesn't it?
Well, if I volunteered to come in, I have to question my insanity prior to the event. Because if I'd have known then what I know now, I don't like seeing stuff like this. In my lifetime, I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to lay eyes upon. And some of which I wouldn't even utter the words because of the severity of what it is that I've witnessed in my life. And as I'm moving through this thing that we call life, whether it be a simulation or, whatever it is, whatever this is, yeah, this reality that we're in, my heart and my spirit is tormented by even having to talk about said subjects that we just mentioned. And I want to try to at least, before I'm out of this world, however it is, to try to make some sort of positive something. I want to try to make it better for those people that are on the way, such as my grandbaby that was only born a couple days ago. I do not want to leave this world in the state of affairs that it is right now. Now, some people believe that this is all preordained and written in stone. But I believe that if we decide to, we can fix it, is what I believe.
That's what I believe, too. But I also believe that if, like, you've had to see things to get where you're at and to be the person you are. And likewise, like, I've had to see things, and I'm sure Barbara has, too. We are all at this point for a certain reason because of our past experiences. Of course, we're at this point because the experiences led up to this point. But you got to leave yourself and wonder, is this going to happen because other people aren't there yet? Like, maybe that's what it has to happen. I mean, look at the way the world works. Like, there's always been a turmoil. In any given place on Earth, there's always been, in that given situation, you could put it all together as this is hell on Earth or this is the end of the world because they just have to deal with this kind of trauma. I think we're just speaking from a point of view where we don't really know about it, and our grandparents barely even remember that You know, I mean, they remember a little bit of it, but still, like, they never really had to, like, see their blood, run red through the streets like water here. You know what I'm saying? Maybe back in the Civil War, but for all intents and purposes, nobody really understands that here. But in other countries, they understand that today, right now. You know what I'm saying? They don't need another event. They don't need any planets coming around or anything. They already get it. You know, we're just talking about ourselves as in not really getting it because we haven't had to experience it in our lifetime or even our parents' lifetime. So that makes it all real relative to me. I mean, I do believe in the universe and the field effect and us moving through and, like, things are going to change. You know, there's no doubt about it. They're not going to stay the same. But, you know, I'm really optimistic about it all. I think it all kind of reflects on the way that we perceive it. I think the more people that get together and become, like, connected, we'll see a change in the whole situation. In fact, I think these kind of things were already supposed to have happened. But because we have been working hard, like, they are being propelled back. And I don't know if people can, if that's too far out for even you all, but that's what I think. I think, like, this was already supposed to happen in 2000, back, like they say, in the 80s, like they say, in the 90s. Because it's real. Like, they had evidence to think that this could have happened. They were talking about Planet X coming back around in the 90s. Then they stopped talking about it. And then they called it voodoo science. Now they're talking about it again. It's like, well, regardless of when it comes or if it comes, we don't really know if our own mental state or opinion on it affects it. It very well could. And, you know, that's how I feel. Like, I know a lot of people are doom and gloom and, you know, they can look at the Bible as prophecy, and, like, you can look at the Bible as prophecy. Anybody can look at the Bible as prophecy, but, you know, when you're looking at something and looking for the prophecy in it, it is ultra subjective at that point. So subjective that it's, and even when people want to go back into even older cultures and older texts, like, and say that, like, this is the, look, we're on the plan, this is the way it's going to happen, it's happening right now, that's so subjective. Because people could have gone back 100 years and said the same thing, or they can go forward 100 years and be able to line up things that are going on in society and place them into prophecy. So I don't really like prophecy too much, but I still respect people that believe in it because I think there is some truth in it. It's just not written in stone, like you're saying. That's what I believe.
Well, I've always said prophecy isn't written in stone, and I think prophecy is given to us for that very purpose. So prophecy is not just biblical prophecy. We have ancient prophecies. We have indigenous prophecies. We have prophecies coming from all different places, persons, wisdoms, knowledge, and many of the prophecies that have been given by the indigenous peoples actually have unfolded and taken place. Now, the question about prophecy is, how involved are we creating and manifesting prophecy? I believe we are. You know, but is there some hidden plan that, let's just take certain prophecies, if you emphasize something, you create it and you manifest it. So is this another plan that's happening? This is a big question. So I'm saying, you know, that we are all involved and we are all connected. What happens across the world happens to us all. We're not separated. We're one. We're really one peoples in connection on many levels, frequency-wise, energy-wise. So you just can't separate us and say, well, what happened over there years ago didn't happen to our people or we didn't experience it, because we do feel it on many different levels. We might not be completely aware of it, but we are so connected that it's really extraordinary how that happens, how that works. We're talking about frequency. We're talking about energies here. This is the whole point. So whatever happens across the pond is happening here in our world. Many people say, gee, I'm feeling something. I don't know what it is, but I'm feeling something today. I'm checking my own experience, but I don't think anything is going on with me, but I'm feeling something, you know. Well, this says a lot. So we are all connected, but the question about prophecies, first of all, I don't believe they are written in stone. I believe they are given us to determine where we want to go, what we want to choose, how we want to affect all things. We are all part of creation. Every human being on this earth is connected energetically. Yes. So, I think that what we determine here is an individual as well as collective experience. So there are questions. People say, well, unless there's a certain percentage of those awake, it's not going to happen. I kind of don't agree with that because, again, you have to consider your individual journey here and what you signed up for, what you came back here to participate in. And this timeline, for instance, I think many of us have come back to participate in because it is a crucial timeline. And you could say, well, we were all supposed to awaken in the 80s, you know. I think we're supposed to awaken according to that plan that we signed up for. I can't say that you should have awoken in 1980. I can't say that. That's not for me to say. And I can't get frustrated and annoyed at people who aren't awakening now, because that's their individual connectedness to their creator and what they signed up for. So we have to look at the broader picture here, I feel. step back a little bit, you know. Excuse me, that there's something far greater going on here. We are connected collectively and individually to our spiritual journey here and what we signed up for. That's what I'm going to say.
Well, I just, I'm not a doomsdayer by any sense of the word. I basically believe that if you got any kind of common sense at all, you can see that we're not heading down a good path as a society. And I'm hoping to at least try to make my effort to steer us in a different direction other than what we're going. So, you know, putting the Bible aside and all the cracks on religion and Christians and all that kind of stuff that I've had to tolerate ever since I started doing the Knights of the Round Table, I know there's people out there that don't believe in God, and I know there's people out there that don't like the Bible. I get it, okay? But I'm not here trying to promote my book. I'm not here trying to promote my belief system or anything like that. What I'm trying to promote is that everybody from every single walk of life at least try to do something positive for the world. That's it. You know, I can't tell you whether or not my God's real or not real. I ain't got no evidence, just like you ain't got no evidence that it is or isn't. All you know is what you've been told through life. All you know is the information that's been given to you via the internet or books or your studies or whatever. But if one book is questionable, then all books are questionable. There's no person out there who was around a couple thousand years ago who could say whether or not it was or wasn't. And there definitely wasn't nobody here during the day that this earth started. However, it was a big bang or an actual spoken into an existence. Nobody was here. It's all called faith. But putting all that kind of stuff aside, you have to understand that if you're living in this world, we're all in the same boat together. It's all of our water that's getting polluted. It's all of our brothers and sisters getting sent off to war. It's all of our children being abducted and terrible things being done to one another by mankind. Some people may think that mankind is the disease. I don't agree with that because I've been around long enough to know that there are lots of good people from every nation, from every culture, from every background, every belief system. And just because there, throughout history, there might have been people that infiltrated any given religious organization and run it amok because they were in a position of power and were able to do so and were tempted by whatever it was that they figured, whether it be gold or sex or whatever. It all frustrates me that when you try to talk to the world about positivity, when you try to spread the message of peace, hope, and love, that the attacks... It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing what people will do to hinder people who are trying to do something positive. Even if you don't believe my message is true, that it's not positive, I'm not going to do what I say I'm going to do or whatever. If you want to live in a better world, why would you want to stop somebody from saying peace, hope, and love? Why would you want to stop somebody to say that we're all related, we're all brothers and sisters, we're all family, that we need to stop fighting each other? We need to stop stealing and lying and doing all the crazy stuff that we do. And if you don't like the book, even if you can agree that the Ten Commandments are good rules to live by, the golden rule, do no harm to others. It doesn't matter to me whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. It matters to me what you do. If you're out there mocking and ridiculing somebody because you don't agree with them, you're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. If you don't agree with what I say or what I believe, you don't have to subscribe to it. You don't even have to comment to it. You can just take the good of what I, my actions and take what you like and leave what you don't. That's what I'm saying. I'm not here to try to convert you to going out reading the Bible. I'm not here trying to convert you to going out believing in Jesus or the stories told about it. All I'm trying to say is I see a world that is in such a dire straits. If there are children in this world being treated like these videos on the alternative media talk about, that the mainstream media doesn't even mention, and if they do, they say it's just a conspiracy theory, then we've got a problem. That's our family. Those are our children being harmed. And if we've got people out there going to wars, whether they be unconstitutional wars or just what for whatever purpose, they're out there fighting over resources when it's not even necessary to fight over resources, then those are your brothers and sisters dying. And if humanity's ever to reach any kind of stage of enlightenment, for whatever you believe, if we're all connected through the universe, the great eye in the sky or whatever, however you believe it, it doesn't matter to me. This is our home. This is our future. Our generations are that are being deteriorated day after day, being indoctrinated, being desensitized, being treated the way that they're treated, and it's mental abuse from childhood all the way to your adulthood. And the only people who have the power to stand against the darkness that we call evil, that some call Satan or whatever, is we the people. The governments aren't going to do it. So as far as people saying and mocking and ridiculing, oh, it's the government's fault, the government did it, I don't care whether the government did it. The fact is, somebody's doing it. And the only people that can stand against that type of evil are the majority of the people that I believe in my heart are good souls. And if you're not willing to stand up, if you're only willing to come into and mock and ridicule somebody because you disagree with something, because you read somewhere or saw a video called Zeitgeist, or think that the whole story of history has all been wrong or whatever and you've been lied to, but you want to come in and you want to discourage a man like myself and others to come in here and try to preach peace, hope, and love and talk about real life solutions. I wrote a letter to the congressman or the governor of Florida to tell them about a problem that they were having, an ecological disaster area of this, you know, doggone algae run amok because of the way that they farm up in that area, and I give them a scientific solution to the problem and got not one single response. I didn't have people coming in there and saying, hey, I'll help you get the message out. I will help you spread the message. I will take this message to them personally because I live down the street from them. I didn't have that. But yet, week after week, year after year, I come here and I sit at the table and I invite everyone to come to the table and speak their mind and tell them, everybody, the good news or the bad news, the solutions to the problem. This is what families do. They sit down at the table, they work the problems out, and we agree to disagree in a respectful manner. We respect others' differences, and that is what we need to get into the mindset of humanity if we're ever to reach that spiritual enlightenment. Otherwise, the naysayers, the doomsdayers, they've already won the fight. That's the way it goes. And if my speaking of reality is not good enough for you, there's other people out there talking just like you. There's other people out there saying, we're doomed, we're all going to die. There's other people out there mocking and ridiculing anybody of any kind of spiritual background. And so those are your bedfellows. Those are the folks that you'll get along with just fine. But if you care about your family, if you care about your future, you care about the future of humanity, and if you want to ever give them the opportunity to excel, to see how far that we could actually go, to boldly go where no man has gone before. If space exists, we get to travel in it. If there's a solution for any disease out there, we get to discover it. But we get to do it together. Now, if you're sitting there poking holes in the same boat that we all live in, you're part of the problem. if you're sitting there trying to throw a positive pebble in the pond that's going to send those ripples out to inspire the youth of tomorrow to do the right thing when it's time to do it, then maybe we'll get something resolved. Otherwise, we're just like Molly Hatchett's song, Flirting with Disaster. And I don't know what it is that I have to say, or how loud I have to say it to get through the minds of the people, of the common sense or anything to get us on the right path. Leave my religion alone. Leave my spiritual beliefs alone. If they're not harming you, then don't even worry about it. Look at the actions. Watch the footsteps of my life. If my life inspires you to do anything positive for somebody else, then I've done my job. This show isn't here to make money. This show isn't here to make us famous. This show isn't here for clicks or anything like that. This show is here to try to put a platform together so that people like yourself and mine and hers and his can come here and we can resolve the problems that they said we have in this world. If none of this out there is real, then what's the point? I don't know what to do. I've cried from the depths of my heart, and I begged and pleaded for my brothers and sisters around the world to try to make a difference in this world, to try to fight against the evils of this world. You know, I could shut it all down, and I could just walk away.
Well, one thing, I just want to add something here. I don't know, here's how I feel. Nobody can affect my personal spiritual beliefs. I don't care what they say, I don't care the words they use or how they attack or whatever they choose to do, nobody can affect me. Nobody. I will never allow that because I know the truth is within me. And I understand the whole system here from my perspective, from my own experiences, my personal experiences I share. I'm not pressuring anybody to believe what I'm saying. I'm only sharing as you are sharing. There will be naysayers. There will be those doomsdayers. They will exist because that's the path they chose. I will not give them energy. I will not feed them. I will only share what I have. I will not allow them to disrupt me or corrupt me or annoy me or frustrate me because that is basically what they want and that one that's behind them wants. So I don't allow that. I've had people attack me over the many years on levels that are pretty dark, okay? And I have always had been in those circumstances protected and knowing the truth, no matter what. And that's what we have to realize, that nobody can affect our own truth if we truly are there strong in that. That light, that love, that compassion. It's just that. So to be disrupted, affected, frustrated, annoyed, that sort of moves us out of the center of what we are working here to hold. I'm just saying. So those trolls or people, naysayers, doomsdayers, confused people and so on, they will always be present in our lives and that is part of the test. Okay, of how strong my spiritual foundation is and what I believe in is true. I will be attacked because I was told that. I was told that by my teacher, Wallace Black Elk. He said, "You, when those who carry the light, you will be attacked. Running alongside of you will be the doubt, the haters, the jealousies, whatever it is. They will be present because you are speaking the truth. Don't look that way. Don't go that way. Don't get involved, don't get sidetracked, because you may never get back." That's how powerful that dark is. So this is a good teaching, it's a good test, it's a good opportunity to remember that those who do speak truth and those that do carry the light, those who are good people that have compassion and love for others, will be attacked violently sometimes. And that's the biggest test, it's the biggest spiritual test. When we say we are in a spiritual battle, that's what that means. I'm just saying.
Yep.
So the passion that we have and the love that we have and what we are sharing, you can take it or not. It does not matter. We're not here to push anybody. We're not here to force anyone at all. And to tell you the truth, like I said, there will always be the naysayers. That's part of their spiritual journey, that they are lost and they are confused, and that's what they chose. And that's not up to me to try to push them, pressure them, bring them to the, you know, like you say, you can bring a horse to the water, but you can't make them drink, because yeah. I mentioned the other day that I was given the information that the time of awakening has gone. The chaos, the fourth world of chaos is ever present, and those people are stuck in it. They're stuck in the world of spinning and confusion, naysaying, hating, and all that. That's the fourth world of chaos. We are shifted into the fifth world, the thousand years of peace, which is a different frequency. So we have to hold that frequency of love and peace. And those naysayers and trolls and whoever it is, they're going to work hard to knock us out of that light.
I agree.
That's a solution. I just gave a solution and a challenge that we are all meeting in this day. We need to share those solutions, because I said to you earlier when we were talking privately that there are ways to hold the light.
Yep.
There are ways when we are being attacked, and I have been attacked, you have been attacked, many of us have been attacked. The whole circumstance of the light and harmony and balance is being attacked, and we have tools on how to eliminate that and push that away.
The key, Barbara, is you and I and Ted and Barry and everybody, we did this together, because before the show started today, I already told you it was going to be a hard one. And you were willing to stand by my side, and we worked through this mess together. You know, there's a lot of terrible things going on in the world, but we still believe that there's hope. There's still a solution available.
Well, that's the most powerful thing that we have been given, and I think that that's a beautiful gift, and I'm grateful for that. And we need each other. You got on earlier before the show, and you were really dealing with this huge, monstrous thing that you came upon. I've been coming upon these monstrous things long time now, and it is hard, but we do need each other. And there are times when I've said to Patty, I've Skyped her and said, I'm having a bad day, and I feel like I just can't go on. Thank goodness for my sister Patty Walking Turtle and you and others, my brother Gaz. I mean, thank goodness for all those here who we stand by each other. When we need help, we reach out, and that's what we are doing right now. And this is the way we need to be, you know. That's what a spiritual battle is about. There are times when we're going to be beaten down, where we're going to say, I can't do this anymore. And, you know, that's a dark thing. When you hear that voice in your head say, this is too much, I can't do this anymore, that's that dark thing attacking you, because you are holding the light. We are all sacred children here. And if you're doing this work with love and compassion in your heart, and you're speaking out against the evil and the darkness, you're going to be attacked, period. That's just how it works.
Yep. And that's why I believe in the power of the spoken word, because your words can literally inspire somebody. You can raise somebody up to the highest reaches of what we believe to be heaven, or down to the lowest, greatest, darkest abyss that we believe to be hell. And that's the fact. Just by the words that come out of your mouth, you can make or break somebody's day. And I didn't want to talk about today's subjects. Nobody wants to think that somebody could actually take two babies and slam them together, even if it was just rumored to be so. It doesn't matter to me. I've got a visual mind, and when I see things like that in my head, I can't never get them out.
And that's what you need to use that tool. You see, you make a statement. Your words, you just got done telling me, and everybody listening, words are powerful. When you say, I can't get them out of my mind, that's a statement, a power statement. You have to change your words. You have the power to change your words. So give everything over to Creator, who loves those children, who loves you. Give that over to Creator. Use those words as a power. I give this over to you, Creator, because it's too heavy for me. Keep giving it over. Energetically give it over. With your words or power, give it over to the Creator. Mm-hmm. This energy here, Creator, is not of the light. Creator, help me here. I am surrounded by your light. Give me this light. Fill me with this light. The light is more powerful than the dark. Words are power. We keep saying it. Use the words.
I appreciate being reminded of that, you know, because this world is like, it just doesn't make any sense. It's upside down.
Well, look, I'm not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person. I sound like a preacher.
Yeah.
Listen, people will say, oh, she sounds like she's on a podium there. She's a preacher. No, I'm using the power of word. That's all that this is. This is the power of word. This is ancient wisdom. Words are powerful. We've said this over and over again. Let's choose the words that are of the light. Let's choose the words that are in that sacred realm, that high frequency. That's all I'm talking about. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about anything. I'm talking about using the power, ancient wisdom of word that is a high frequency. What's a high frequency? Love, light, joy, gratitude, peace, harmony. Those are frequency words. So let's choose those words. Let's bring those into our vocabulary. Because when you slip and you start talking the dark words and you say, I can't do this, or it hits me and it's horrible, those are low frequency words, and that attracts more of that frequency energy. So step into your power is what I'm saying.
This
is not about religion.
You're right. You know, I don't have the resources to go worldwide, to go to Africa and feed the starving babies, but somebody listening in lives in that neighborhood. Somebody listening in lives in other neighborhoods where there's things that need to be addressed, and so we're kind of like trying to rally the troops. We're trying to use the power of our spoken word to inspire people, not only to have hope in that, but the faith in themselves that you can actually get something done. I keep saying it. I've been saying it forever. If you want to see the miracle you've been waiting on, look in the mirror. Because you
have to be that
miracle.
So you have to own the gifts of this energy, the frequency. See, this is ancient wisdom. What we're talking about today is ancient wisdom, and the ones who are the dark ones use this ancient wisdom. It's the power of word, which are frequencies and energies, you see. It's the power of thought, which exude frequencies and energies. It's the power of emotions, which exude frequencies and energies, you see. So we have to become this enlightened person, because this is the time of enlightenment. That's where we have come to here today. In this timeline, we have reached this time of enlightenment. It's now. So enlightenment means bring the light inside of you. Be the light. Be that peace. Be that energy. Be that love. Be that joy. Be grateful. These are frequencies that are above all other frequencies. And this is ancient wisdom. I'm not telling you anything new. It's just a gift that was given to me. And it is so powerful if we just realize the power that we do have.
Yep. And that's why I keep saying something simple like the positive pebble in the pond, you know, or, you know, being that little candle, you know, one candle in the darkest cave will defeat the darkness. That's it. All it takes is you go in a cave and you light one candle. That's all it takes. But do you imagine you got lots of candles in that same cave and now everybody's warm, you know, there's plenty of light and all that kind of stuff. If you be that candle or that lighthouse, that analogy that we used way back, you know, that's what we're trying to point out.
Well, if you use the words in the present tense rather than the future or the past, it's a very big different frequency. If you say, there is a light, the light is powerful, rather than, I wish the light were here, or I wish there was more powerful light, or I wish people would wake up, it would say, In the present tense is people are alive, people are awake, people are joyous, people are healthy, we are filled with peace and joy and health. This is in the present. This is a frequency that speaks to the universe. When we speak to the universe listens and responds according to how you are speaking to it. If you say, I wish people would wake up, as compared to people are awakening, you know, people, it's a flood, a wave of awakening, and light is growing, and it's more powerful, it's so powerful, it's beautiful. It's different than saying, I wish people would wake up, I wish the light would shine in people's hearts, I wish people would be better and good, and blah, 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 and I wish we had peace. That's a different frequency. You can even hear it as I'm speaking it. Use the ancient wisdom. The ancient wisdom is, it's extraordinary. The power, what we're talking about, the power of word. Okay, the power of word. What does it mean? Think about it. What words are you using? What thoughts are you thinking? Those are frequencies. They exude either positive or negative energy, and you're the pebble that is thrown in the pond with your words and your thoughts and your emotions. I am the pebble that leaps into that pond with my words and my emotions and my thoughts. Each one of us, okay, each one of us, every human being has a power beyond imagining with their words, their emotions, and their words. Each one of us are a ripple of energy frequency according to what we speak, what we believe in, and our emotions that we exude. Each one of us has a power to change things with our word, our thought, and our emotions, but we are inundated with the negatives, with the lower frequencies, with the fear tactics, you see. So this is what people are dealing with. That's the battle of the spirit, of your own spirit within you. Who is that light? Who is all of that that you can want and imagine being? It already exists within you.
Yep. Well, folks, it's that time again. You know, I don't even know where to even end this show, other than the fact that I want something different than what I see in this world, not just for myself, but for everybody out there. I believe that there is no reason for anybody to starve to death on this planet. I've said that so many times. I've said it ad nauseum. That I believe that there's no reason for anyone to starve. I believe that there's no reason for all these wars, all the ridiculousness going on. I know that corruption and greed and, whether it be governments or corruption in governments or corporations or money men of the world, people make money for a reason. They make money on war. They make money on pain and suffering. They make money on sickness. They make money on everything that is what we despise. And all I'm hoping for is that we somehow or another can finally realize that together we're strong. You know, I keep playing this deal, and I'm going to play it again, that Bug's Life, where the grasshopper's telling the other grasshoppers that those ants outnumber us 100-1 the day that they realize that our way of life is over, because they had the ants being their servants. Just like there's so many bad things in movies that depict real life events, there's good things in there as well that somehow or another inadvertently get out there to give you some words of wisdom. We got the capability to fix our world, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, but it's going to be a long road, because this place didn't get this messy overnight, and it's going to take a long, long haul in order to get it back together. But somehow or another, we're going to have to put our egos aside. We're going to have to put our selfishness aside. We're going to have to put greed down, and we're going to have to want to do something for everyone. This planet that we're living on, this earth, this flat plane, or whatever you believe it is, this reality that we're in, whatever dimension you think we are, it's an amazing piece of artwork. It's an amazing piece of machinery. I can't even grasp the magnificence of all that is that has been given to us. This earth has more than enough resources to provide for 10 times the population, yet they will say that we're overpopulated. This world has more than enough resources to feed and house and clothe every single man, woman, and child, and then some. Yet there are people that do without. People can't get a fresh drink of water in the year 2018 when we have some filtration systems that are capable of cleaning the water down beyond all imagination to, you know, perfect quality. We have people that can't even get a home to live in. People that are actually being arrested for trying to feed the hungry. We've got people in this world that are dying in unnecessary wars that are basically based off of finance or resource or whatever. And whenever you, a person like myself, sees the mechanical workings of the earth and all the resources available, and that there are problems that are so ridiculously simple to solve, And the world continues to go down the same path, and people continue to come home missing arms and legs and even portions of their soul because of things that they had to endure. And if that can't reach into your soul and inspire you to open your mouth and use the power of the spoken word to inspire somebody else out there to say, hey, let's all come together and fix this mess, then we're in for some really seriously troubled times. I don't believe that the end is written in stone. I believe that we were given a choice. I believe that we have a choice whether or not to bring heaven on earth or hell on earth, like the title of this today's show. I believe that we have that potential. But until people stop bickering over the simple and the stupid and the ridiculous, until people start using what we've been given in a respectful manner, and then treat each other the same, we can come together of multiple different faiths, and we can sit here and have a wonderful conversation and discuss solutions to fix problems, and we get it here on the Knights of the Round Table. We don't have to come in here and say, I don't agree with what you say, that's not what my book says, or that's not what my God believes, or whatever. None of that. None of that you'll hear on the Knights of the Round Table. What we talk about here is bringing people together. We're talking about bringing people together. Not under some one world banner or some one world ideology, but under a belief that somehow or another we got to fix this world and steer it in a better direction than what we've seen so far. If a man like Paul Harvey could have said back in 1965 the words that came up out of his mouth, and we actually see that as a reality today, if the people back then could not have recognized the red flags and the warning signs that we were going down a path to sure destruction, then they weren't paying attention. But now those that are classified as being awake, those are the folks like myself and others, Barbara and Ted and Barry and other folks that that we see. And we're trying to say what needs to be said so that the world, these words that are coming out of our mouths, will inspire people out there to end the wars, to end the sickness, to end the starvation, to end the suffering of humanity, so that one day we can take all the gifts that have been given to us, our talents and so on, all the resources, and see how far humanity could really go. How far that we could actually travel and achieve, create whatever it is that you believe we do here. I don't want to leave a mess behind for my children. I don't want to leave a mess behind for your children. And I still, to this very day, even though things look bleak, I still believe in the dream. I still believe in peace, hope, and love. And that's what drives me to get on this microphone and put myself on the line. I'm 52 years old, getting ready to turn 53. And I've cried like a baby in front of people I don't even know. And I'll do it again if it's a hope. If there's a slim chance that something I say will inspire you to spread a message that's going to benefit this world. I wished I had the money in my pocket to go around and buy everything necessary to fix everything that's wrong with this world. I wish I had the money in my pocket and the resources to get around there and build a house for somebody that doesn't have one. I would give the clothes off my back and stand there naked if somebody else could have their self-esteem and their pride and their respect. I'm proud to be a servant to my brothers and sisters, and by God, if I have to die crying just to try, that's what I'm going to do. So which one of you guys want to take us out of here? Barbara?
Barbara.
Okay. Well, thank you. Again, thank you for this opportunity today to share and express myself and listen to you all too, and share with people in the chat and wherever they are. I give thanks every day for this life and the beauty all around me. That's how I start my day. I go out on the mother, and that's the way I do it, you know. I talk to the tree people. Yeah, I'm one of those tree people. I talk to the trees. I thank the trees, actually, for what they do in for all of life, because they work very hard. Everything is significant. Every part of creation is significant to hold all things in harmony and balance, and it's nature, the creation of nature, that does that job and remembers and continues its original instructions. And we, the people, have sort of gotten sidetracked, and that's not by happenstance, that's a deliberate sidetrack to remember our original instructions, as we are stewards of this Mother Earth, this beautiful gift given to us and of each other as well, as brothers and sisters. So I always give thanks, and I have a great gift that Creator did give me, that even when I was a child, when things were looking pretty bad and other people around me were upset or terrified, or things looked like possible issues of disaster, I was always uplifted. I was always touched by something powerful that came inside of me. And it was like, it's hard to describe. It's like, I can only tell a story about when I was traveling with my family. I was a young girl. I was probably about 7 or 8, and my father was driving. My mom was in the front seat, and the rest of us kids were in the back. And we were going through a storm, and this is, I guess you could say, a metaphor for life. It just came to me really just now. We're going through a storm, and it was dark, and severe thunder and lightning and winds, where trees were like bending, and thunders and lightnings. And at one point, my father slammed on the brakes, and we were on some back road, I guess, and he slammed on the brakes and started yelling, "Don't touch the car, don't touch the handles, stay where you are," and he was really freaking out, and it was quite scary. And apparently lightning had taken down a tree and wires with it, and so there were all these live wires across the road in front of us. And my father had, you know, quickly put on the brakes so that we wouldn't run through this. And I'm in the back seat, it's pitch black, I'm sitting there with my sister and my older brother, and my father's really freaking out, my mother too, and suddenly this energy of fear is in the car. And yet suddenly I was filled with this joyous and amazing feeling. I was filled suddenly with joy. And I leaned over to my sister and I said, I just felt this joy. I feel this happiness and joy. And she said, in the darkness of the car and thunder and lightning flashing around us, the storm raging around us, she turned to me and she said, "That was an angel that just kissed you." And I'll never forget that. It felt like that. Not that I know what an angel kiss would be like, but I was overcome by something different than the fear and the terror that was in that car and the danger all around with that raging storm. And I didn't ask for it. I was just gifted it as a child, I guess you'd say. That little sense of protection, and that we're not alone, that we're never alone, that we're not walking alone, that we will meet the storms. The storms are rising. They will come, but we are never alone. And we just, I think, have to remember that. So I feel that very strongly. We are not alone. The storm is around us, but there's also the light and the joy and the beauty, too. And I have great faith in something grander and more omniscient and extraordinary unfolding here. I know this is a very crucial timeline that we human beings are in. I believe that this is a new paradigm, a time of enlightenment, as I said earlier, and that we are in a form of a spiritual battle. And I believe in the spirit, the battle of the power of spirit, the power of light, and the power of prayer. I've had these experiences where prayer has healed and shifted things. So I'm speaking from that experience. You can believe it or not. To me, it does not matter what you believe in. I'm only sharing what my experiences are. And I'm planting that little seed. I'm throwing this stone out into the pond of that voice message, experience, light, love, and that I experience. I'm throwing that out into the pond. It's going to ripple out. May touch you or not, or maybe you won't realize that it's going to touch you. But the seeds we plant eventually will grow. Perhaps not in the time that we want them to grow, but if you plant the seed with love and joy and gratitude, it will definitely grow, according to Creator's divine plan.
Well, I believe that as well.
So, Pilamaya Doksha, thank you for being here today, everyone.
Thanks again, Barbara. I couldn't have done today's show without you, that's for sure.
Glad to be here with you.
And Ted, thank you very much. You got any last words of wisdom before we get up out of here?
No, I'm just really proud of you all. Nice job. Thank you.
Well, folks, all we want is the best for everybody. That's it. You know, we believe in peace, hope, and love. I still believe in the dream. And I know the only tool that we have available is us. That's the best Grandpa used to say. If you want something done, get up and do it yourself. Well, if you see something broke, fix it. That's the whole thing. That's the whole concept. But, you know, to send this message out, we need somebody to pick it up and run with it. We need somebody to get out there and talk to their neighbors and find out what's wrong, what needs to be fixed, what can you help them with. You know, that's how we fix it. We're not going to get it through any representation. They've already proven themselves. They've already showed a track record. There's still wars in the world. There's still people that need to be fed. But there's still a way to fix it. And until it's over, until there's no hope whatsoever, I'm going to keep saying the words I say. I'm going to still keep believing in what I want. I'm not ashamed of my God. I'm not ashamed of my book. You know, until I don't believe in it anymore, I'm not going to stop trying to live it. I'm not going to stop trying to be myself. I'm going to be who I am. And that's the best I can do. So, with that said, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If anything in this podcast inspired you, you know, if you take away anything from it, you know, you can download this podcast, cut it, chop it up, and you know, do whatever you want with it. Just spread the message out there. Tell people that there's other people just like them who really care, that really want to get things resolved. I think we can fix this thing if we really want. I really believe that. I believe that if we was to ever somehow or another, for some crazy reason, decide that one day we wake up and enough is enough and we want to resolve the issues of the world, I believe we'll get it done. Anyway, I'll leave you with this right here.
Was that band that stood up to me?
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Didn't that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this? You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back. Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. if there's ever going to be any progress.
There is some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you. We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot! Camelot! Camelot!
It's only a model.
Shh! Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines and order scenes and footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rise that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
So on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right. All right.
She fears the terrible and the knights of the round table.